Welcome aboard, you people. Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanc is off for another day of broadcast insolence.
You got a lot going on in the world today.
Judy Pilak on the news. You just heard from her. You got your Kevin Powell on the sports. You got your Violetta Pydermatic on Taekwondo.
She's doing the Taekwondo moves.
Yep. We are, as a group, going to be in Lisle on Friday for the Lisle's Eyes to the Skies event. Lisle, Eyes to the Skies.
Mm-hmm. Making moves.
We're making moves. We were, and it's all part of the Hometown Voices Tour. Brought to you by Allstate. You're in good hands. And can I just say this? That we did discuss with the folks whether we're setting Violetta up in a tethered balloon.
Oh, you talked to them.
Wait a minute. I want to go up in a tethered balloon.
They actually,
sorry, you can't.
Actually, they said, well, maybe we can have Kevin go too.
Yes.
There was a little bit
just
of a conversation.
Just to be fair, because otherwise they'd argue.
You want the kids.
Can we race?
Now, I said I only want it if there's a lightning storm. And they said, sure, we can accommodate that.
Cool. Even more fun.
Yep.
Got to dodge lightning.
Yep. So we're looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun in Lisle on Friday.
Yes, it is. We'll have a good time out there. I'd like to go up in the balloon, too. I've never been up in one. And then hopefully we get to stay a little bit later and see the balloons illuminated at night, because that, according to Judy, who's been there before, is one of the highlights of the festival. Check it out.
Can't wait.
I don't know. How do they illuminate?
Don't they all
with the
glow?
Fire.
And
I don't think it's the fire. I think it's like, it's got to be.
Candles. Something unsafe.
Candles.
it's all very sandy. No. Don't worry. Don't worry about it.
This is how it all broke bad. Earlier, yesterday we were talking about it, and then it was then it turned into something where we got a phone call. It's fine.
Don't worry about it.
And
just get in.
Violetta, who tries to put out the fire on the way up, the balloon on the way up, and then it's sort of like, hey, I put the fire out just so everybody's okay.
Was that okay? Oh. Oh, we don't want that to happen. That sounds terrible.
Thank goodness it's all grass.
Well, that
yeah. That's going to help.
Yeah.
There are parking lots. Just be careful of it.
How high up do the balloons go, even the tethered ones?
Past the clouds.
Really?
No, I don't know. I have no idea.
Kevin's nervous.
30,000 feet, Kevin. Don't worry about it. It's all good.
High as a plane.
You'll be able to breathe.
Again, who's asking? Just get on.
A lot of questions. It's just fun.
Yes.
I'm not nervous.
Get on and fly away.
You're
Listen,
nervous.
These people raise $800,000 for local charities at this event over this weekend. It's absolutely great.
Think about that.
Right.
So,
all the details are WGNradio.com/events.
If we're not doing a good job selling it, go check it out there.
Yes, exactly. We're probably not. I know there's a carnival.
Fireworks.
And food. Right. 50 vendors.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of food.
Crafters.
Bands.
I believe that Violetta will somehow be related to the fortune teller at the at the carnival.
My fellow gypsies here.
Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
We can set up a booth.
It's all going to be fine. It's all going to be fine. Actually, Violetta will read your palm, too, if you want. She's got
for
that.
For $20.
Yeah.
I see doom in your future. What?
Three
about
kids.
To get on this balloon.
But dinner. If you pay me $40 more, I can make go away. Okay. All right.
You're just looking a lot brighter right now.
Yeah.
It's a great
business.
Looking a whole lot better.
So it's going to be.
Another 20 and you are in the clear, my friend.
Yeah. You know, oh my God, I can't believe they're still
works.
Letting us go out and do this. I don't. Well, maybe they're not. I don't know. We'll find
Check
out.
Check back just to make sure before we make the trip out.
Okay. Good effort.
On the program today, we've got Mark Zappels is going to join us. Boy, a lot of Chicago headlines today we got to get to. So we'll talk to him in just a couple seconds about that from the Channel 9 newsroom. Also, A.B. Stoddard's going to join us. Republicans are at the White House right now. Republican senators are there trying to figure out whether they're going to. Are they going to vote? They're not going to vote? We're going to vote? What's going to happen? The vote has been postponed till after the 4th of July. By the way, if you're just joining us, there will be no health care vote in the Senate. They
right.
couldn't even get a vote to continue to talk about it, which is the first step there.
Which means there just isn't the support, and I'm sure they've been trying behind closed doors, so something's got to happen.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, the Senate version as it sits right now, it's pretty, it's very market-based. It's as market-based as it can be, and it's got the ability to, for people to get, healthcare at a pretty significant expense, an escalating expense.
Especially if you're older and sicker, for sure.
Right.
It's a higher price tag on your coverage.
Correct.
If you fall into that category.
But it's
supposed to entice younger people who are healthy to enter the marketplace, to build that marketplace and make it a bigger
marketplace. That was the plan the first time, wasn't it?
Kind of was.
How'd that go?
That did not happen.
Yeah.
Even though it was mandated, it didn't happen.
Right. And they took the mandates out here. So that they're going to entice them without a mandate? I don't know about that. But all right. That's the plan here, if you make it affordable. But now the question is, what kind of insurance are they going to sell? And so far there are requirements. And the Republicans want to take away the requirements for what people can sell. Mm-hmm. So it's like you can call it insurance. We could, you know, Violetta could be selling the insurance.
Stop.
Don't worry, it's fine. What if you get sick? It's a deductible.
I didn't hear that.
The deductible is only $400, right? And who's going to get to look at you? Look how healthy you look. Look at you.
You're
fine. Skydiving? You're fine.
Well, I guess when you cover everything or you have a big basket that you have to cover, it does drive up the price. And so they're trying to drive that price down. And that's
correct.
The
basket of a hot air balloon?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, sort of like that on a stormy night.
Mm-hmm. So he's up there. So the Republican senators are up at the White House right now. Talking to the president, who is trying to entice them to get together.
So what is and get this thing
done.
What's that
you
like, got to
do it for me. For me.
Closed door meeting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see what comes out of this meeting.
Mitch McConnell says he remains optimistic, although, you know, postponing it till after the holiday.
Generally not a good sign.
Shows they need some arm twisting. There's still some things to work out.
House did that, though, too, but they were wrangling. It was a different kind of wrangle over there. Mm-hmm. This is because you got Ted Cruz, who's still very much, I know.
He's still a holdout.
Mr. President, where's the candy jar?
Oh, you don't want his fingers in there. Yuck.
Do you have any Nutella? I love Nutella. It's chocolatey, but not. I like to get it on my mouth. I can't get a sucking it out of my teeth. And I just can't get it. It gets all kind of stuck in there.
And those queso-flavored Jelly Bellies?
They have
them. Oh,
I hope not.
Do you have those, Mr. President? Can you imagine how Trump wants to get rid of this guy when he's like close-talking him? Just imagine that. It's the only time I feel bad for Donald Trump.
What's his nickname for him? Lion Ted Cruz, yeah. Right? Called him Lion Ted Cruz. See the impact of violence on victims and medical professionals inside a trauma center. Violence, the new plague, a medical watch report tonight on WGN TV News at 9.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Mr. Sapelsa joins us right now.
Hey, Mark.
Wait, hold on. Does he join us?
Is he joining us? He was scheduled to.
Where is Mark? I don't have Mark. I don't have Mark on my screens. I don't have him anywhere. I just assume it was all said and done.
You know what they say about assuming.
Yes, I know. You're so right, Violetta. You're so right. I just want you to just cover me for a second.
Yeah.
I'm try to
well,
fix this problem.
Maybe she'll show up.
Can
I mean,
you people
that Mark is usually there.
Count to 110, and we're going to be good?
Backwards?
We'll be okay.
Yes, if you could.
110.
Uh-huh.
109.
Okay. Keep going.
108?
Uh-oh.
107.
Last time I had to do that, I was getting put out for a surgery. They're like, all right, come. They're like, come.
What'd you get to? Do you remember?
I think like two seconds in.
I know. Isn't it funny how you done. Do?
Yeah.
They always ask you to do something.
I'm like, I'm totally going to get to like 80 or something.
Right. So, that's what you think. Yeah.
Or they start asking, so where do you live?
Right.
What's your name? What's your birthday? And then something.
No chance. Gone.
Last time I was on the side of a road and.
No.
I'm
well,
kidding.
Different story.
Kidding, of course.
Different story she's entirely.
They don't make you count that far.
Do the alphabet backwards.
Yeah, I couldn't do it sober.
What are they thinking?
Well, right. The whole trick of that is just to know that.
That's supposed to be,
to
yeah.
be, have the presence of mind to say, hey, come on, all right.
Yeah, the thing try is, this. If you're at that point, you're probably already
but
in
let
trouble,
me see. So. Ro, just try it real quick, as much as you can.
Back
Z-Y-X-W-V-U-T.
Oh, my God.
That's
so
pretty
confused.
Good so
that
far.
Is.
I couldn't get past
S-
Z.
There. R.
P. R.
R.
Q. No.
Q-R. Yeah, Q.
W.
I have to sing the song to myself to go forward.
Right. Let's try it on Friday after the Carnival Wagon. That would be more
actually,
entertaining.
The Carnival Wagon is tomorrow. Well, I mean Thursday. We're doing a Thursday
right.
edition
be
of the Carnival
Lyle
Wagon.
For
yeah.
Eyes to the Skies on right. Friday.
They don't want us drinking near the balloons. I don't
no,
know why.
That would,
I have
that
no
could
idea what
wrong.
That's all about.
That'll be one big Carnival Wagon. Yeah.
All right. Do I have Mark? Mark, you there now?
Yeah, can you hear me?
All right,
yeah,
very good.
Couldn't hear
I've
you
been here the whole
Mark.
Time.
Mark,
yeah.
We missed you. Yes.
I heard the whole thing. Z, Y,
it was very entertaining.
S, B,
there we
A.
go. That's what happens when you really, you know, everybody in our business knows when you have to just tap dance, right? Just tread water for a few minutes to get through to whatever it is. We're waiting for something to happen. Just tread water. And that's what I decided to do. Do the alphabet backwards. Remember that, Mark. When
that's
this happens to on Channel 9, when all the systems fail, just do that.
I heard somebody – were you guys talking about this? Because wasn't somebody supposed to do that in sobriety test, like Tiger Woods or something like that?
He was.
And I did think at the time, I've been sober 5 years. I can't do it now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. There's no way. I mean, I could never. I got somewhere there, but I really had to think about it.
Yeah, you got. I mean, you got all the way to what? Almost M.
Yeah, well, somewhere.
You did pretty well.
Seems like you've been practicing that.
I know. Wait a minute. What happened?
Very interesting.
That's not what we call.
No.
We have so many things going on here.
Yes,
first of all, that unbelievably dramatic video that we've seen for the last day and a half here, of the car going through the intersection near the Ontario feeder ramp. Where the car, you know, hits a pole and bursts into flames. Somehow the guy
who
was driving,
survive that thing.
Right. Walks away from that accident. Mm-hmm. The car gets cut in half.
Yep.
He walks away from that accident, gets home.
3 miles away.
And then police apparently, were on his trail, showed up at his house, and he was found dead. Mm-hmm. Apparently in a self-inflicted manner.
Yep. I think hanging from the apartment in Bucktown, correct?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I mean, you know, who knows how he got the 3 miles? Maybe he walked. Maybe he, maybe he Ubered. Maybe his phone stayed in his pocket. I have no idea. But yeah, to think about the fact that it was so that horrific, and I'm sure that crashes are oftentimes just as horrific. But when you see them and the speed with which, and then the woman clearly wasn't going to survive on that end. The car split in half. Not that big of a car. As a matter of fact, and then he walks away. Wow,
unbelievable! Wow. And then, as you're pointing out, the 21-year-old who was with him at the time,
so sad. Girl from Joliet,
passed away. She, we're told, was also in the restaurant and club industry here. He was, at least the last known place he was working, we knew was at a nightclub downtown.
Yeah,
and you know, sort of like an industry Sunday night, industry night, going home late. Mm-hmm. Unclear what the conditions were there, but I think we can pretty much surmise at this point that he left that scene for a reason.
Yep.
Yeah.
We talked to last night to an acquaintance of hers who said, you know, just a delightful young woman who lit the place up in terms of her personality and skill and charm, and like you said, working in the restaurant industry. What a shame.
Yeah.
It is a shame.
Let's talk about this breaking news in Chicago, too, that now there have been 3 officers indicted in the incident that led to Laquan McDonald's death. 3 other officers indicted for cover-up charges, essentially, because of the way that they submitted their reports after that shooting.
Yeah, the grand jury came down with it yesterday, unsealed or at least found by reporters today. You're right. One's 30-year veteran, or close to it, age 58, and then a couple of 20-year veterans involved as well.
That is really something, because you know it's an incident that is gonna it will go down for right or for wrong, and however you know this whole thing plays out in court.
Yeah.
But it's really one of those seminal moments in Chicago.
Yes.
Where it's things are going to change one way or the other on the you know it's we'll have to see what happens in the trial and we'll have to see what comes out. I mean, there are a lot of ways to look at this, and I want to be fair. I always want to defer and be fair to you know those on the scene who are trying to protect people. I mean, Laquan McDonald did have a knife.
Yep,
and was approaching, you know, is at least a beam of them approaching by you know, and was trying to pass them. And, you know, and the video shows something, you know, very interesting, I'm sure, that will come up in court where his foot crosses the line, where he actually does appear to be. The angle of the video is such that the camera that you're looking at, that video that everybody's seen, that car is from a dash cam, and that car is moving. So it creates a little bit of a perspective skew on it in terms of making it look as though he's trying to run move away from them. But there's a dotted line in the street that if you watch, he actually crosses the dotted line toward the side of the police officers when the first shot is fired. Now, we can debate, and there will be a trial here, about whether or not that's justifiable. And then the 16 shots, it's a separate other issue that's they've been now charged here with aggravated battery, 16 charges. We'll see where that ends up. But no matter what, Chicago's going to have to go through that trial. And do you realize that cameras potentially could be in the courtroom for that?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good or bad, if this is the right one.
Oh, as a reporter, I always advocate for cameras in them. You know, and again, oftentimes the cameras only have certain amount of latitude in terms of what they can
show. What they'll be able to show, right?
Yeah. But cameras, you know, in my opinion, they shine light where light should be shown here. And, you know, I've worked in states where cameras have been free in courts for years upon years, decades. And there are very few, except maybe, for example, the O.J. Simpson trial where, you know, the people, A, made their careers or ruined their careers in front of the camera because they were trying to do so.
Right.
But in cases like this where, you know, you're looking for law and order, I'm all for cameras, period. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm biased. Of course I am. I'm a reporter.
All right. Well, we'll see what transpires there. But it's interesting. These three police officers have now been charged as well. And again, you've got, you know, this changes a lot of things, especially in this tight political environment, this sociological environment, and even in the legal environment here where there's going to be a lot of questions about can you charge these guys at this point. So,
well, when's the last time you've seen police officers get charged criminally for covering up for a fellow cop? I mean, you haven't seen a lot of cases like that.
No, you haven't heard of
Chicago.
I've had a few. I mean, that was that SOS deal. There were some others, but this is a tough case. All right, Mark, thank you very much. We'll see you tonight at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10.
Very good.
All right, there he goes. Mark Spelzer, we finally got to him. We found him.
Glad we found him.
He was there.
He was. I knew he was.
99.
Judy Pilak has got the WGN News coming your way in 2 minutes. Brokaw Show with Anna DeVlasis right here on 720 WGN. The Republican caucus of the Senate is at the White House right now, enjoying one scoop of ice cream, we're told.
That's all they get.
So he gets one.
I get two.
A.B. Stoddard is in Washington, where she's watching all of this kind of thing go on here. And we have one clip. Now, the president has just spoke a few seconds ago. Is that right? All right. This is A.B. This is what the president just said.
I think we have either 52 out of 52 or 50 out of 52. And, John, either one is pretty good, I think, as a percentage. So we're going to talk and we're going to see what we can do. We're getting very close. But for the country, we have to have health care. And it can't be Obamacare, which is melting down. The other side is saying all sorts of things before they even knew what the bill was. This will be great if we get it done. And if we don't get it done, it's just going to be something that we're not going to like. And that's okay. And I understand that very well.
Word salad. All right. So, there's a misrepresentation right off the top there. If he had 52 out of 52, they'd call
a vote.
That's right.
Yes. If they had 50 out of 52, they would call a vote.
They don't have 50.
They don't have 50.
Right. No.
Bingo.
So that was it. Now, was that coming out just after the meeting? Is that what he just – that was after – oh, that's before the meeting. Okay. That's important to note. So that was before the meeting. So he got in to get informed of what the actual numbers are. I don't understand how the it is an odd circumstance how the president likes to it. You know, the first statement is always an embellishment or just flat out lie. Why does he do that?
Well, he is a salesman, and the sell is everything. It's really we've seen this with him in the campaign. We've seen it in the transition and in the presidency. Whether it's getting out of a political jam because of a really bad tweet about Russia, or it's actual policy and a big vote. It's all in his pitch, and he believes so much in the power of the pitch that He doesn't really care if he's overpromising things like the simplest, most effective, most inexpensive, highest quality health care we've ever had, which is what he told people in the campaign. And it's what he started the year off telling people. And he ran into the buzzsaw of Republican division on the House side. And now, so he says things like, if we get it, it'll be really important. We have to have it. But if we don't get it, we won't like that, but I'll understand. And he doesn't really know how to deal with the fact that in the end, this is not going to be because the Democrats didn't play ball. It's going to be because the Republicans fight with each other and they can't pass something. And it was a 7-year promise. It was one of his campaign promises. So he's flustered, but he's still going to keep selling. He's never going to stop.
Well, he's going to run into this problem. Barack Obama ran into it. And the by going in and tinkering with this in the first place, which has been a 30-year process, right? I mean, this has been going on. Right. It actually goes even further. I mean, Richard Nixon at one point thought we should do something about as healthcare was becoming more technical and more expensive in the 1970s, there was talk about doing some sort of government overlay to make sure that people don't die in the streets, right? And now, you know, here we are in 2017, after 2009, the healthcare path, the 2010, healthcare gets signed into law, Obamacare gets signed into law. Everybody's mad about it because it's called Obamacare. Republicans called it Obamacare, and then Barack Obama goes, "Go ahead, name it after me. I'm fine with it." And then that had its own problems. We all find ourselves here at this moment. If he offers something that is even less consumer friendly than Obamacare was, because you got to look at this from the consumer, not the politics. The politics of this were always, hey, you're making me do something I don't want to do by these mandates, and I got to buy something I don't need because I'm fine. Nothing's ever going to happen to me. What are you talking about? Ow! Right?
And then suddenly you need it.
So then you need it. But the point is that that's what the politics of it were, and that's what Republicans figured they had an advantage there, but the, you know, government stay out of my stuff kind of deal, especially my health care, and by demagoguing it. But then and then here you have now this failing system that isn't serving, so it's not meeting its promises. So now what do you have? Now he's going to come up with something, and when people don't like that, they're going to blame him.
It's true.
Well, I mean, it really is an amazing thing, though, if you think about how the conservative argument has shifted. Before Trump, this is a group of small government fiscal conservatives who wanted to not only shrink the government subsidization of many states and safety net programs, but the idea of government, you know, in healthcare was, you know, an abomination. So now they find themselves, because this is an entitlement that's been given, and people don't want to now lose it. They find themselves with President Trump, with a different coalition of people. He ran on preserving a safety net, on right. never touching Medicare and Social Security. He also promised a lot of things on Medicaid. And now what's going to happen is, you know, you have a conservative reform where they're trying to definitely you get a lower premium because you're going to get less coverage. You're going to get less for your insurance package. So right. it's definitely going to lower premiums for young people, but people who've got diabetes and a couple meds and some, you know, procedures ahead, they're going to pay more. Mm-hmm. And those are a lot of Trump voters. So that's really going to hit particularly, you know, a certain age population, elderly and in certain rural parts, this sort of benefits that are stripped away from what you used to know as your coverage is going to be a big surprise. So that's where the Republican sort of fight comes from, right? They didn't even anticipate this. They've been talking for years about don't mandate anything, and this is a free country, and the government can't invade the free market and take over 1/6 of the economy, and this is crazy. And now they're dealing with the fact that President Trump wants everything to have heart and be nice. He says openly, put more money in it. And they really don't know at any moment if he's going to blow a gasket about what they put on the floor. He says he's supportive. Last week I was on Special Report on Thursday night. The president was clearly watching because he kept tweeting. And I said the thing that really scares Republicans is that he seems on board with the Senate bill now. He's kind of been kept out of the deliberations, unlike on the House side where he was really involved. And McConnell's been able to keep him away. But at any moment, when does he come out and call this one mean and really throw them under the bus? And he tweets right away, "I'm very supportive of the bill." But they never know how long.
Hey, you got him.
Three days.
Good for you, AB. You got him to react to your unlike the people who put up the Chiron last night, and he quoted that directly off of Fox News, right?
I mean, I must tell you, there are certain programs that we know that he's watching, but the point is, just because he declared his support on Thursday night, June 22nd, does not mean that they can take that to the bank next week. When they go home for July 4th recess, if there's a backlash, you know, to this, it doesn't mean that he's going to have their back next year on the campaign trail. Look at the ads they're taking out. So it's the whole argument has shifted from, well, of course you have to have a Medicaid safety net. So now we have to provide a soft landing. And it is an amazing thing to watch this journey from let's get the government out of everything to, of course, you need your government protection and a strong safety net.
AB, Mitch McConnell still saying he's optimistic, although clearly, as you stated, some obstacles and the delay is indicative of there's a lot that needs to be worked out. So the president calls all the senators to the White House today to talk it over. I mean, if they can't get this done this time and soon, what happens? Do they just table it for the near future, even though a lot of Republicans did campaign on repeal and replace?
Well, that is, you know, it's been reminding me the last week of a couple of years ago when we went back and forth with some owners of a house and we walked away at inspection. And then about 2 months later, we just threw down a lowball offer over the phone. And I stayed up all night thinking they can't accept it, but they can't not accept it. And so I'm starting to feel this way about this situation.
Did they accept it? I'm interested in the end of that story.
In the end, they accepted it.
Yeah. Very interesting.
But, they were desperate. I could sense it. But the thing is that the Republicans really, I know you watched this if you're paying attention at a granular level, and I know you are. The number two behind McConnell, Senator Cornyn, you know, made a declaration earlier, a couple of days ago, but we would only push it to August 1, Tuesday, August 1, you know, this sort of strange date, and not beyond that. And I had heard that was, you know, their sort of conclusion internally. And then he reversed that about, you know, the last couple hours, 36 hours, and said, no, we cannot go past the July 4th recess. It must be this week or we're not doing it. And so you could sense the panic setting in.
And you could sense the White House had called. Every time they go home to a town hall,
it's a disaster. So so it was kind of like you can't let this bleed out there. The time is now. But I think that they are beginning to think, you know, this opposition is hardened. These guys can't vote for it. You can't make Gene Heller of Nevada vote for this bill. Rand Paul doesn't want to. You can't make Collins. You can't make, you know, all these different senators. And so they're thinking, wow, we really, you know, let's not put it up for a vote and shame them and dare them because it looks like we're going to lose. And that was the original strategy. And we can't say they just can't say they're walking away. And I know that Trump doesn't want them to walk away. So they're saying we'll do it after the recess. It doesn't mean they're going to have a better chance.
The other issue here, too, is that this is go back to the beginning. The reason that we finally got to a position where the government did get involved with hospitals and insurance companies were asking for the support, right? Because you had hospitals that were inundated in their emergency rooms with people who were just sick, didn't have health care, couldn't pay, and they would have the flu, and otherwise, and then they would get more sick, and then it'd be covered, and then they would just walk away from it and like, hey, I can't do anything about it, declare bankruptcy, right? So there isn't, not that there was even anything to declare off of that AB. And then you end up with the other end of this is now you got to figure out a way to if you're going to take it all away, if you Ted Cruz this thing and we're going to be done with it, you know, if he does that, then the hospitals are right back at it. Right. Then the hospitals are like, whoa. And then the hospitals go, all right, we'll do this if we can send people who are sick out of our emergency room without worrying we're going to be sued or charged with a crime for allowing them to die in our parking lot. Right. I mean, that's where it comes down to for the hospitals. And it's just simple.
What's really hard here is that Obamacare, the president, you know, likes to call it a carcass and stuff. It's not completely dead, but it is definitely in a death spiral. And it is being hastened by the regulations and the fixes that the HHS secretary was able to make from the executive level without, you know, making changes through legislation through the Congress. You know, getting rid of the mandate and doing some of the things. So it's now the free fall is happening faster. And so what McConnell has tried to explain to the White House, even though, you know, it's not Trump's fault that these guys can't get together and agree, but is basically we're going to have to work with the Democrats if we can't pass this because we're going to the voters own the outcome. The voters will say, wait a second, you guys didn't do anything, but now it's getting worse. And, you know, it was popular when you were trying to fix it, but now, you know, there are fewer providers and all these, you know, my care is a disaster. My premiums and deductibles have skyrocketed even since the debate in the spring of 2017. So they know they're going to own the outcome. Why didn't you fix it? Why didn't you fix it? And so this really opens the door for, you know, it's this partisan fix, or they're going to have to do a bipartisan fix. And look, the Democrats, if Hillary won, were definitely going to have to fix Obamacare, and they knew it, and they talked about it all the time. And Hillary just didn't want to say while Obama was in office that they had to do stuff to fix it. But there's going to have to be a fix no matter what. The system is in terrible shape. Obamacare is not wonderful no matter how much people are clinging to it. It's this partisan way. In the next couple of weeks, they find some person to, you know, to take the heat, and they get to 50 votes and Pence the 51st, or they're going to have to work with the Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Got it. All right, AB, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, AB.
Thank you.
All right. She got the president to react. Violetta Pyder-Max getting me to react. And the top story around the country right now is the health care bill in the Senate getting polled for a vote. No vote by Thursday or Friday, which was the initial plan. Now, that's my former boss.
Oh, you got Mitch McConnell,
who is the fearless leader of the United States Senate.
Says he's optimistic something will get done, but obviously there are quite some hurdles for this delay to happen.
And then the president, can we play this again? Then the president, before he just did a meeting with all the Republicans in the Senate, he came out and he said this.
I think we have either 52 out of 52 or 50 out of 52. And, John, either one is pretty good, I think, as a percentage. So we're going to talk and we're going to see what we can do. We're getting very close. But for the country, we have to have health care. And it can't be Obamacare, which is melting down. The other side is saying all sorts of things before they even knew what the bill was. This will be great if we get it done. And if we don't get it done, it's just going to be something that we're not going to like, and that's okay, and I understand that very well.
Well, the other side is on the Super Celebrity Hotline. Dick Durbin is with us right now. And you heard the president there say that they either have 50 out of 52 or 52 out of 52. That can't possibly be true because they would have called that for a vote already if that were the case. So what is your estimation of what has happened here?
Where it's at.
Listen, I'm the whip for the Democrats in the Senate, and all the skills I needed for this job were developed in the first grade to count to 60. And the president clearly has a bad whip or a bad counter when it comes to the White House. Mitch McConnell would have never pulled this bill if he had 50 votes, because Mike Pence would have cast the deciding vote.
Right.
And off they went to the races. 52 was out of the question. By mid-morning, at least 5 to 7 Republican senators had announced publicly or semi-publicly that they were not going to vote for this bill. And that's why Mitch McConnell pulled it.
All right. So now where do we go? Where do we go? Do you think that, let me back up here, because we've been talking about this in a couple of different angles today. But let's look at it from this perspective. If the bill moves to the right, there may be some center Republicans that are going to fall off. Right. I mean, yeah, I think Susan Collins would be one of them. There are some others that are going to fall. They may not get to 50 that they need that way, because you also have Rand Paul probably not going to vote for anything ever under any circumstances. You may have Ted Cruz also do the same thing, although Ted Cruz was personally lobbied earlier today by the president at the White House. So I do wonder if he does not get the Republican side, let's just try it this way, Senator. If the president decided to give up on the conservative Republicans, who he's, you know, not all that fond of to begin with, and he came over and threw Joe Manchin, let's say, of West Virginia, which seems to be an acceptable Fox News, acceptable Democrat that he can start the conversation with, is there a possibility if he moves that legislation to be nicer as opposed to meaner, that Democrats will come along with them?
Well, you've got to start at the beginning. And the beginning is that this was billed as health care reform, but it really was more than that. It was a tax cut, a dramatic tax cut for those in the highest income category. Some $700 billion over the next 10 years cut out in taxes. Now, once you take $700 billion of tax revenue out of the healthcare system, tough things happen. You can no longer offer health insurance through Medicaid to the states that have signed up with the reimbursement levels we currently have. You can no longer provide a subsidy or a help for those who want to make premium payments on health insurance, but, you know, don't have much income, so they need a helping hand. So when they took this money out, that's what led to the Congressional Budget Office to tell us 22 million Americans are going to lose their health insurance, including 1 million in the state of Illinois. Those things started to weigh heavily on the Republicans as they thought about taking that message home before the next election. So I think you've got to start with the premise, no tax cuts in terms of the wealthy people in this country, and let's take what we have and make it work better. Find a way to expand health insurance, find a way to make it more affordable, and still maintain the quality of the product when it's all said and done. And I believe we can achieve it. How do we do it politically, mathematically? It has to be bipartisan. And not just the most conservative members of the Democratic caucus. Many of us are willing to sit down with the Republicans if they share that goal and don't start off with a tax cut.
I just want to make sure, Senator, you're not drinking right now.
He said bipartisan, didn't he?
He said bipartisan, and he also said no tax cuts. I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I've seen you.
Go ahead.
I saw your reaction today at CNN and everywhere about this, and one of the headlines, the key takeaways was that health insurance, the real debate starts when the GOP bill dies, and that's the viewpoint, I think, of several leading Democrats who say, look, this one is on shaky ground. It doesn't look like it's going to make it, and so let's go back to the drawing board together.
Well, of course, and we need to. This current healthcare system has weaknesses. 5 or 6% of the people in America buy their insurance as individuals on the insurance exchange. When you read about these skyrocketing premiums, uncertainty, businesses canceling, it's 5 or 6% of our population, a very important part of our population. Can we address that effectively? Of course we can. There are answers to that. We can sit down and solve that problem. We can sit down and solve the problem, too, of the cost of pharmaceuticals. Prescription drug costs are the biggest driver in many of the increases in health insurance premiums. Is there a way to deal with that? Of course there is. I mean, there are things we can do if we agree on what the goal will be. If the goal is more people in America with health insurance, making it more affordable for those who buy private insurance still, then we can move forward.
Isn't this a case, though, and I look at this, and I also look at the Illinois budget. I know, I hate to bring this up, Senator, but but I look at what's happened here in Illinois, and we're clearly in a demographic bubble, right? I mean, one of the issues that we have here is that we have more people living longer, and we have the baby boomers, which was up until now the largest generation by population, and as they age and become ill and stop working and paying into the economy but actually taking money out of the economy, which is the way that we've designed America because it's a wealthy country, and we don't want people dying in the streets. We want people to live long, rich lives. It's a generational promise that it seems to me, had agreed upon before I was born, certainly. But that seems to be the rule of thumb here. And now we find ourselves in a situation where politicians in Washington and in Springfield have kicked the can down the road in terms of because it was politically inexpedient to be able to come up with solutions to some of these problems, whether they were pension issues in the public sector or pension issues in the private sector or any of the other kinds of, are we going to pay for it now or are we going to pay for it later? Let's do it later because we have 2 and 4 year and 6 year terms. And now it seems like, despite the fact the economy is humming along, Senator, we all know this, right? It's even the president agrees that the economy is humming along because he's the president now, so he can agree to it. And we're at a very strong place. And these kinds of days don't always stay like this. Isn't this the moment to take harder choices?
It is, but we got to make sure they're sensible choices. Let me give you a couple ideas. First, should we continue to invest in medical research? The president says no. He says go back in medical research funding 15 years. Why would we want to invest in medical research? Because we're quickly going to reach a point that 50% of the cost of Medicare is going to be for Alzheimer's and dementia because people are living longer. So if we can, through medical research, God willing, find a cure, but at least find a way to delay the onset of Alzheimer's. It's going to save us dramatic amounts of money. So you make the investment in research, spare people the suffering, and spare taxpayers the expense. Now take a look at our entitlement programs. It's true about this demographic bubble. You know, baby boomers and others are living longer, and they're more expensive. Are there ways to fix that system and do it rationally? Of course there are. I mean, you take, for example, hard as it may be for you to believe, I qualify for Social Security. I know you
don't say that, sir. Please don't say that.
It's true. It's true.
Well, you're an AARP, bro. Aren't you?
Yeah, no, I mean, easy. Easy. Go ahead, all Senator. Right. Ignore her.
Example. Here I am, a United States Senator, drawing a senator's salary, and my Social Security check on an annual basis gets the full cost of living adjustment. That's not right. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that is something that shouldn't be offered to me. I've got an outside income. And the same thing should be true for other people who are well off. You know, they shouldn't be drawing the COLA. The folks who need it are those who have no other source of income. And that's true for Social Security for a lot of people, or those who are getting older and have depleted all their savings. Let's bring some justice to this system and say to the folks who are doing well, comfortable today, you don't have to do that. You can find a way to give them the basics that they paid for throughout their lives, but not give them the COLA bonus that comes every year.
Interesting. Interestingly, though, I mean, that's very hard for Republicans who benefit, again, in terms of a political way, more than Democrats do from senior citizens, to be able to make that argument, even though that seems like a fiscally responsible thing. It's the politics of this. There's going to have to be a moment. And the one thing, watch me here. Watch me work here.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to find silver linings here. If there is ever a president who is unlike any president that we've ever had before and probably can make arguments unlike other presidents have made, it is Donald Trump. And and it's interesting that there are people, his people will follow him. Even if he says, I'm cutting off all of your, for all of you, I'm stopping everything. I'm not paying you anymore, period. I think there are some that go, well, you know, he said it, that's right. And it's almost a squandered opportunity. It's a short-lived opportunity here, I think, because I don't think the president is, I don't know if his heart's really in this, but let's just assume the window is till 2020. He, you know, to make an argument to have, because I think he comes from a very pragmatic side. It's not a politically philosophical argument that he's making about anything. This is all about pragmatism. And I begin to wonder now, as things are settling in a little bit, if a door can open to work with Democrats to get things done. I mean, the man was a Democrat till about 3 hours ago, right? So, I mean, it's like, I don't know.
Well,
I wonder.
I'm reaching out to people in this White House. There, one in particular, Jared Kushner. I've talked to him several different times. People listening probably find that surprising. But, you know, I'm trying to find people there who are willing to sit down and deal on a bipartisan basis. It's interesting what happened with this debate. The Trump supporters, the only thing that has come along since he was elected that started shaking their confidence was this debate on health care. Because they took a look around. Many of them live in small town and rural parts of America. Mm-hmm. And the rural hospitals were the first victims of the Medicaid cuts that this proposal came through with. And many of these folks have, you know, several jobs, not a lot of benefits, not a high income, and they counted on Medicaid coverage as well as some help to pay for their premiums, and now that was being threatened. So there was a reality check, and some of them started drifting away from their original support for President Trump. I think that's another reason why some Republicans decided we better drop this approach. It is not working with our base.
Let me ask you about the Jared Kushner thing. If you've opened the door there. It's very fascinating. So you've had conversations with him. Do you get the sense from Jared Kushner that they are open to input from Democrats?
He is. And in fact, his name was recommended on a couple issues that I'm interested in. One of them is criminal justice reform. And we've had several conversations, lengthy conversations and substantive conversations about these issues. And my impression is, yes, he's looking for a bipartisan solution. He often asks me, he says, are you Democrats going to work with us on anything? I said, yes, here's one thing. This measure that I have with Senator Grassley, a Republican, is something you're interested in. If the president's interested in it, let's pursue it. The American people elected me to solve problems, or try to, and I can't do it except on a bipartisan basis. If we can join together, let's get it done.
You know, it's interesting. because this is, you know, it's a tit for tat town, Washington, D.C. And the and Republicans refuse to work with Barack Obama. Democrats appear to be refusing to work with Donald Trump. And obviously they want to go back to their bases. And you know, we've gotten so tribal. I mean, there's no other way to describe this but tribal. We've become so tribal in red and blue and all of that. You know, you wonder if the since some of the paradigms here have been broken up anyway, right, by Donald Trump in terms of, you know, what conservatism is, because, you know, there's a lot of conservatives who follow him and they don't. He's broken away from a lot of conservative principles of the 1980s and 90s. It does seem that maybe there's a change here and that, you know, there is an opportunity to sort of reconfigure all of that. And I just wonder if there are other people. Are you hearing this more, Senator?
Well, I'm hearing that a number of people have reached out to the Trump administration. But
Democrats.
You know, one of the problems, Democrats, yeah. And one of the problems we have is we look at the cast of leaders in the White House and don't recognize many names. Vice President Pence, yes, he has experience in the House of Representatives. I'd never worked with him in that capacity, but others have. And they say you can talk to him, and he seems like a perfectly approachable person. Beyond that, though, most of the people are not experienced. Mr. Kushner, young man that he is, really is a good person to talk to. I mean, we haven't reached any good solutions to problems, but we're sure working at it. Yeah. And we do it with the understanding we're not going to go to the press and announce our negotiations. We're going to try our best to do it behind closed doors. So I hope we can continue that. And I hope we can find others in the White House willing to do the same.
Very good.
We hope so, too.
Thank you, Senator. Appreciate your time,
Thanks,
sir.
Thanks, Senator.
Great talking to you guys. Bye-bye.
Senator Dick Durbin. Hanging out with Jared Kushner.
Yeah, that was a reveal.
Oh, my God. I think we just made some news. All right.
So.
Let us now find out from Violetta what her news is about the WGN traffic trouble spots.
Play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today.
All right. The Republicans are just leaving the White House in the next few minutes, and we'll find out what happened there.
What that meeting was all about with the president, what was said.
How many scoops did you get? Did you get two? I get three then.
Just wait for the tweet.
Right, there will be a tweet.
On tweet standby.
Oh, there will be many, many tweets.
Well, there'll be leaks and then
tweets.
You
can't just do one.
Well, there'll be a leak. It'll start with a leak. This is our new
my next tease.
Day
leak,
by day.
Tweet.
There will be a leak. But some Republican will leak, and then there will be a tweet about leakers, and then there will be all hell is going to break loose. But the president's not getting what he wanted, which is before we go into the 4th of July weekend, that there is some form of at least a bill that's worked its way through the Senate so that there can be a compromise on the other side. Mm-hmm. You know, a reconciliation bill on the other side. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Now we're going to have to hear about Hillary all vacation.
It's about Hillary and about Barack Obama. I don't care about Hillary and Barack Obama.
No.
I don't care. They're yesterday's news. They're beyond yesterday's news. Fox News had a big story today about Barack Obama having luxurious vacations, and how dare he?
What?
I know.
Yeah, I know. You said that, and I thought, that's interesting. He's in Bali or something.
Yeah, I mean, and they quoted, he's on vacations where they're spending $2,000 or $5,000 a night on a hotel room. I'm like, who cares?
I know, really.
Right?
Like,
this is really not a relevant issue. He was president. He's, you know, cashing in now, as a lot of them do, and that's it. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? Well, I'm really worried about what's going on right now, because what's going to happen right now affects me. Where he goes on vacation does not affect me. But it's a way of also saying, look, you know, look at him, look at him. I just looked at
him surfing?
No, but it was this whole story. They quoted They said that the left, they pegged the story on the fact that the left is upset with him. Mm-hmm. And then they quoted a bunch of people who were in the left in the 1970s are now on the right now, but said they were from the left.
Used to be, formerly of the left.
And then they headed the Socialist Party of Houston, which who knew even existed. There's got to be like three people in the Socialist Party of Houston.
And they live in Austin.
Slow news night for them?
Well, they're just trying to capitalize on their story
that's no longer a story.
It's clickbait when you put Obama on the Fox News channel, right? You just mention his name and people click on it because, you know, he's an oldie but a goodie, mm-hmm. you know? And that's just kind of the way it goes. But it was a funny thing that I'm like, what? Oh,
this is an odd story to tell right now.
Yeah. Well, Hillary was here today speaking.
Does anyone care?
No.
That's the weird part.
No, I want her to go back to the forest.
She was speaking to librarians.
Also in hushed tones. Was it hushed tones?
When she started speaking, did the librarians go, shh?
Ryan Burrow said he was there, and it was the quietest speech you've ever been to.
I can imagine.
Please. I wish he had talked so he could have been shushed.
People are studying over here.
Ryan was probably the loudest one in the room.
Probably was.
All right. We're going to get to Judy's news coming your way in 2 short minutes. Is it the end of the world as we know it?
I don't think so. It's a great dance routine going on in Michigan Avenue, though. This is a new, I haven't seen this introduction.
The world had a good run.
Don't say that.
There are three guys dancing on Michigan Avenue right now doing like a line dancing that is very, very entertaining. This is the beauty of downtown Chicago. You never know what you're going to see.
You don't.
And it is clearly happening. There's generally a guy in a gorilla suit in that space. Mm-hmm. And the guy dressed as Iron Man. This is right here by the, it's across from us at the Tribune Tower. It's Michigan, almost at the river at the Wrigley Building. And it is, it's always some street theater because the tourists like this, I think.
I like the puppets in the box.
Oh, yeah.
Scary. You kind of don't know what you're going to get. They just jump out at you.
Yeah, and then sometimes the puppets are doing things they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always fun.
I like when the gorilla takes a break and goes on his iPhone.
That's true. Or sometimes smokes a cigarette through his gorilla mask.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen him eat a banana?
I have not.
Have you seen him do that?
No, I'm just wondering.
No.
That might be another nice image.
The funny thing is, the gorilla guy comes out when it's like 90 degrees.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
I'm always curious.
If I had that gorilla suit and I was going to make money off of it, I'd be doing it in winter. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, that's the time you want to be in the gorilla suit.
How come we don't have like a New York version of the Naked Cowboy? We don't have that kind of thing going on.
I'm sort of happy about that.
You are? You like the gorilla suit better?
I like the gorilla suit.
There's saxophone guy as well. You guys ever see saxophone guy with a beard?
Is that the guy who sometimes has a duet partner and sometimes doesn't? Because there's the one guy who shows up here, and then sometimes there's this guy who accompanies him and sort of sings along, and then sometimes he's
not there. Silver frozen robot dude.
Oh, yes. I like him.
That's a dime a dozen now. And ours are not as good as they are in some other places.
Well,
because ours are often sitting down, and then he sits down for like 10 minutes, and then he scratches his nose.
Changes his legs around.
Sometimes he has a cigarette. And I'm thinking, with that face paint, man, it's gonna be look out.
You know when they do the dance segments, like a couple, you know, they have a whole routine. Mm-hmm. I'm always there, and I'm waiting, and then I finally give up on them, like right before. They decided to do something.
Yeah, because they say, like, oh, give us
the statues,
start
the silver eyes
we'll
statue guys.
No, like the dancers, like they have a whole routine and they do crazy like flips and.
Yeah, but the statue guys, they don't move. They have a sign that says basically put money
here. I know those
here,
guys aren't
then,
doing
and
anything.
And then they'll move. And they never move.
They don't. They wait
like
till the money piles
4
up.
4 hours once. They never move.
Yeah.
Just wasting my whole day staring at this guy.
What? There's one guy down here who does it. One guy's the worst statue ever. Because he's like, he's all painted like the statue, but then he's constantly moving. And you're like, this is not the bit. That's not what you're supposed to do.
So you don't give him any money.
Right. Well, I don't know. The street theater is not.
It's a dying art.
It is. It's not what it used to be. And the city's been cracking down on it.
You have to have a license.
Of course they are. Mm-hmm.
There's an interesting phenomenon downtown, though, that I have found that is very disturbing. You have people who are saying that they are homeless. They have these signs that seem to be professionally made. Mm-hmm. And many of them sit on the corner of a sidewalk at an intersection. So they are literally inches away from the traffic that is going past them. Mm-hmm. They're like perilously close to the cars making a turn and all of that. To create this illusion of danger, sense of danger. It's not even an illusion. I mean, I would imagine. I mean, certainly the way I drive, I go up on a few curbs every now and then.
You do.
Try not to hit people. And I got a, you know, you got a big, yeah, you got a bus turning or whatever. That's kind of what I have. It's not so easy. I wonder now, what is that all about? Who was the first person who said, you know what you got to do? When they, you know, like at the homeless convention, and they have the different booths, and they're explaining.
Well, maybe they're hoping to get a little sideswipe action.
Well, maybe, but I mean, it's weird. It's like, you see this now. I've seen it in other cities, but I first saw it here.
I don't know. What I've noticed about those guys, and particularly the ones on Michigan Avenue, is it used to be, back in the day, they had more signs about themselves and their own personal hardship. You know, I'm out of work. I need some help. Just, you know, need some food, anything. And now they're all political. Make America kind again, we see. America needs better than DeVos. I just saw one today. There are all these signs.
And another thing, why do they all have dogs now? A lot of dogs. And I see people leaving things for the animals,
right,
and not so much for the people, which is also another strange thing to see.
Here's what I've noticed, though. If you must, now that you brought it up, we might as well
all
talk
right.
about it.
We've had an observation.
The dog is the same. The homeless people are different.
At this one particular area here, right by the studio, we've
yeah,
seen that.
It's a brown
outside
pit bull.
The Starbucks.
Yeah, that's it's got the blue eyes.
Yeah, that's her.
Yeah. Very calm dog.
Very calm. And you can go up to the homeless person, talk to them. The dog never notices. You can stare at the dog. Dog doesn't react. These dogs are incredibly, and there's like two of them that you see consistently here. And I want to know what the scam is there. Because
what's
I want to know who owns that dog and who trained that dog. Because those dogs are trained amazingly not to react to anything.
What does the dog know? When did it know it?
Right. I want to know, because it's sort of like, and what does the homeless guy have to pay for the dog? Because I'm assuming that that's going to get him. And they wrap the dog in a blanket.
Yes.
Even if it's 90 degrees outside, they wrap the dog in a blanket.
Some random guy shows up and there's some kind of transaction. Then the dog is there and then the dog disappears with that guy later.
Some loan shark like renting out dogs to homeless
was that
people?
It? We don't know.
There's something going on. And I cannot quite figure it out. we've alerted everybody to this because I'm like, dude, there is a story here.
Yeah, maybe Sapelsa and the
We already did it.
See,
I already
waiting.
Gave it to
we're
them.
Still waiting.
Gave it to the authorities. I'm like, figure out who these guys are.
It might be cool to put a GoPro on the dog.
There we go.
You first.
Yeah.
Just plant one on.
This would be the
collar.
First time the dog moves. Doc's in there thinking, why is this 12-year-old trying to put a GoPro on my head?
Sounds a little more angry than that.
Yeah, but it's funny because it's like, the dog, and the interesting part of this is if this guy is homeless, he's not going to a shelter every night with a pit bull.
No.
Right?
Can't
or a her. There's the same dog there's a guy, there's a couple different guys who have the dog. It's like they drop the dog off and the dog, you know, makes a little extra money for people and then, you know, the dog gets a cut. I don't understand.
I don't know that the dog gets a cut.
The dog looks at least well fed. I will say that.
Oh, the dog's fine.
Yeah.
The dog's fine, trained. Mm-hmm. I mean, this dog is professionally trained because there's no way that a homeless guy, you know, like crazy owners, crazy dogs, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's generally the way that goes. This dog is like, all right, I'm here. This is my job every day. I'm showing up.
Maybe it's a healing dog.
Maybe
like
it's just some research
support.
Institute.
Like a therapy dog?
Like undercover, yeah. Like, you know.
Wanting to see how people react?
Yeah.
Well, I've wondered that, but except they've been doing it for, like, this same situation has been here for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm one, and I thought, well, this is, you know, who's, no one's going to research for 2.5 years.
Maybe the research ran out of funding, and now they actually are homeless. Seen it 100 times.
Ah, interesting. Gosh, I never thought about that.
Just throwing it out there.
We could just ask someone, I guess.
They're not going to give
in. They don't talk. There's one guy on Michigan Avenue who often has the dog that is of questionable homelessness. And the guy has a sign over his head, Make America Kind Again. He's got the sign over his head so you can't see him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they have different guys sitting there at different times at the same position.
That's the working theory that we're going with. The Rokon team.
I would like to know how much they're making a day doing this. Because
yeah.
it's... You know, this is not your, this is not your standard "help me out" kind of panhandling that
no,
you see.
It's
maybe it's Walter
like
Jacobson conducting another experiment.
I already checked that out too.
Okay,
I
you want did to look find, over I, the sign to make sure it wasn't Walter.
I want it's not a media scam, which I kind of thought it was, and it's and I'm told that the highest authorities is not law enforcement. So that was what
right,
it was
that's
too.
Right, we asked about that too, huh?
Yeah, because sometimes you know you never know.
I think that one guy also pretends he doesn't have a leg. Which I'm
how
like,
can
I can see him
every
sitting
time
on
you
it.
He's missing half
what?
A leg.
I don't think he
wait,
is.
What are you talking about?
The guy standing outside with the pit bull in front of Starbucks. I swear.
Was it for the pit bull or Starbucks?
I swear he's like sitting on his leg, but I think I've seen him walk. He totally has a leg. He's
really
he's missing
wow.
a leg.
I'm not going to stand by that because I think
there.
I've seen the missing part of the leg. I mean, not the missing part.
Oh,
I haven't seen that, but it does not appear that is. I'm going to go with he doesn't have a leg. I'm on team no leg.
Team no leg, but team not his dog.
Definitely team not his dog. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think not his dog definitely has missing a leg, part of a leg.
I don't know.
Although, really, do you want to be trying to get people to drop money in a bucket in front of you if you're missing half a leg and you've got a pit bull? I mean, isn't there sort of a moment, Rick? I'd love to help you, but I can't get close enough.
Yeah, you would think that. Although I would say that the theory is that the dogs do bring more money, right? Isn't that?
Oh, I would think so.
If you really, yeah. I don't know if anyone studied these things, but if you did.
I also saw someone have a baby bunny on a leash.
Asking for money?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the bunny gets it? I don't understand
what
the deal is.
No, the bunny was their pet, but...
I guess it's a cheaper pet to have than a dog, I suppose.
I guess.
I was like, oh.
I'm worried about the... I know, it's like I'm worried. Like, it seems to be that dog's well cared for, but I don't know what... It seems as though something is not right.
Something's not right with the whole thing. It doesn't add up.
I would like a full investigation. I've asked everybody to do a full investigation from media to law enforcement, and everybody's like, yeah, okay, we got other things to do.
Let's do it ourselves.
All right.
Pro contra investigation. All right, so Violetta, what we need you to do next time you see the guy that you think does have a leg, who says he doesn't have a leg,
start,
who appears not to have a leg.
Start rolling on your iPhone.
Yeah.
And
go up and ask about his
show
leg.
Show me.
Mm-hmm.
Sir, do you have a leg or not?
And where's the dog from?
And if you don't have a leg, does the dog have anything to do with it?
And how come someone else is with the dog who does have both legs and also appears to be the owner of the dog?
Oh, I think we've now asked too many questions.
Now you're done. And then you won't have another question.
Okay, do you want anything from Starbucks?
They get you a latte.
Violetta has got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. All right, we got a top 5-5 coming your way. And a $50 gift certificate to Builder Supply Outlet right around the corner. I think you're going to want to miss that. Plus, State of Illinois seems to be moving a little bit closer now to at least there's a plan as of Tuesday to get this thing done by Friday. I have no optimism whatsoever that the plan will go through, but we'll find out details about it coming up in 2 minutes of Judy's News. Pro Con Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, now it's 5:00 somewhere.
Here.
Central time zone. So that means it's time for the top 5 at 5. And as such, we should get right to it. We got a lot to listen to.
Number 5.
Wait, hold on a second. That's not right.
The top 5 at 5 on the Pro Con Show with Anna DeBlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the top 5 on the Pro Con Show. Let's go.
Now that's right. I'm having what Violetta's having. And that's apparently creating a problem.
Everyone should have one.
All right. Now it's time for
number 5.
There we go.
Thank you, Orion.
Thanks, Orion.
We appreciate that. Democrats in the Illinois House revealed their budget plan And now the question remains, what about the reforms that Republican Governor Bruce Rauner wants? Mm-hmm. He's, you know, been sitting there for 2 years saying, I'm not going to be signing a legislating if you don't give me what it is I've been wanting.
Well, the reforms that he ran on, and some would say that because he ran on them, he was trying to make good on his promises.
So Madigan released it. We're 4 days away from the self-imposed deadline of June 30th before the banks decide, not even self-imposed, it's bank-imposed, mm-hmm. the lenders imposed, the credit rating agencies imposed deadline of Friday to get something done. What does Senate President John Cullerton have to say about it?
Very, very close. Very close, which is very close to the House, to the governor's budget that he introduced in February.
What about revenue?
Revenue, we are sticking with the governor's request for the taxes to not, the partial reinstatement of the tax to be no higher than 4.95.
And then what about service taxes? Stripping out service taxes?
That's still up in the air.
When is that?
But that was never a big part of our revenue.
A few more days of the special session left. Will they reach an agreement?
I'd like to see something get done somewhere.
Budget? Well.
Because what do we hire these people for? They're working for us.
The state could be falling off a fiscal cliff with that junk bond status lingering if they don't come up with a budget.
Not a good idea.
No, it's good.
All right, so here is more of John Cullerton.
Is there going to be an agreement between all the caucuses on these other issues, workers' comp, property tax freeze?
They're still negotiating. Most of those negotiations are taking place in the House.
A supermajority and the governor's signature. How confident are you about those things?
Well, I can't speak for the governor. So all we can do is work with the legislative leaders here and see if we can get something to his desk.
Yeah, what did the two Republicans say about committing Republican votes?
It was a very positive meeting.
Why now? I mean, after all of the grand bargain stuff, what finally has made this?
July 1st, maybe, has something to do with it.
Yeah. I like the guy, that old school radio reporter back there. What, in fact, do they say about a grand bargain? He's doing a full Len O'Connor back there.
Sure. I'd like to hear that. I'd like to know that there's a guy like that.
So, he's got a fedora on with a press card in it.
That's what's great about Chicago. You do still see that here.
This is Springfield, though. God knows what they're seeing down there.
Well, not everything in Springfield is pretty. I'll admit that. Been down there too many times.
A supermajority and a governor's signature. What do you say about that, Mr. Roosevelt?
Flashback
throwback. I think it's like in the 1940s. That was really something. Can you
what
play that guy
camera?
Again? Can we play that again?
Let's hear that again. That was great.
Second one.
It's beautiful.
Supermajority and the governor's signature. How confident are you about those things?
Well,
how
I can't,
confident are you about those things?
It's like from The Untouchables, the movie, like the press rushing toward the whoever to speak. Do you have a comment, sir?
Just keep these politicians on their toes and ask questions in that manner.
I'm going to try
Aviator?
That next time
what?
We get a politician
what did that guy just
on.
Say?
Let's do that.
Aviator Howard Hughes is trying to build the largest airplane ever to fly. What does that have to do with anything?
True or false, Governor?
Just completely throw him off. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, what did the two Republicans say about committing Republican votes?
Committing Republican votes.
It is a different language, too, isn't it? It's like an old English.
Lucky Lindy has just landed in Paris.
Oh, God.
Oh man. Oh, no. That's awesome.
It is.
All right. Well, God bless that guy, whoever he is.
Keep it classy, Springfield.
Yeah, well, I like it. It's a throwback. I like that.
It is.
I mean, you want that. I want that.
I want that.
I'm with him, whoever it is. We'll find out who he is. Undoubtedly, we'll be hearing from his relatives within minutes. All right. Are we done with that? Yes, we are. Checking in.
Number four.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders. It was her day in the barrel today.
Mm-hmm. But she was given what's what at the beginning of that
White House press briefing. On the attack of her fake news, citing a CNN debacle that appeared on their website, CNN.com, they had to retract a story, right? And raked the CNN over the coals, who writes for Playboy. Wait, what is this? Wait, hold on.
Playboy.
What happened
there? How did Playboy get in there?
Wait, Playboy was in the White House press briefing?
No, really?
What?
What?
How did Playboy get in the White House press briefing?
Did that happen?
They won't answer CNN's questions, but they'll... What?
If we make the slightest mistake, the slightest word is off, it is just an absolute tirade from a lot of people in this room. But news outlets get to go on day after day and cite unnamed sources, use stories without sources. Have you know, you mentioned the Scaramucci story where they had to have reporters resign.
She wasn't having it today. Spent the first, seemed like 10 minutes of that news conference.
Yeah, they want to go after CNN.
Going
now.
After CNN. Yeah, delegitimize
CNN. That was a CNN.com story, and they did. They got three people to resign. Mm-hmm. Now, there are other news agencies that have made similar mistakes in the last couple of months, and nobody has paid a price for it yet. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I the reality is CNN did, they made the mistake, but then they did the only thing they could to make that okay, which is let the people go who made that mistake. And they did. The Scaramucci thing was that was a guy who was part of the transition team, and they claimed that he had meetings with Russian bankers. As it turns out,
not
true.
And he accepted their apology. But back to the White House correspondent from Playboy. Did anyone know we had that?
Do we have that here now? All right. So the deputy White House press secretary, that's her, chastised CNN over the retracted story. You just heard that. And then she attacked the media in general, too. And that's when the Playboy White House reporter, Brian Karam, went off.
Come on, you're inflaming everybody right here and right now with those words. This administration has done that as well. Why in the name of heavens? Any one of us, right, are replaceable. And any one of us, if we don't get it right, the audience has the opportunity to turn the channel or not read us.
I think you have
been elected to serve for 4 years at least. There's no option other than that. We're here to ask you questions.
Right.
We're here to provide the answers. And what you just did is inflammatory to people all over the country who look at it and say, see, once again, the president's right and everybody else out here is fake media. And everybody in this room is only trying to do their job.
Got that? Got that or why I'm here?
Snap.
Because I work for Playboy. Because people only read Playboy for the articles. Remember, we took the boobs out that we had to put them back in.
And because you won't call on CNN, so we call on Playboy to ask the tough questions.
But there's more.
Well, I disagree completely. First of all, I think if anything has been inflamed, it's the dishonesty that often takes place by the news media. And I think it is outrageous for you to accuse me of inflaming a story when I was simply trying to respond to his question.
You know, the one thing about Sarah Huckabee Sanders, like last week, she goes, the one thing we know for sure is the president's not a liar. And then the president came out today. Today, it said, hey, there's 52 votes, 52 out of 52 or 50 out of 50. We're very close. Well, if that were the case, they'd have called for the vote.
They would have called for a vote.
That is not true.
It is a lie.
It is a lie.
Thank you. Say it.
Not a damnable lie, but it is not. It is a misstatement.
It's a lie. If it's not true, it's a lie.
Oh, my God. Don't argue with Judy ever
it's
under
very
any
black
circumstances.
And white. Very binary.
I mean, yeah, before you. Yeah.
You can't have it both ways.
I'm not trying to have it both ways. I'm
not
just
you.
To
I meant Sarah Huckabee. Yeah. She cannot have it both
well,
ways.
Well, she is paid to get up there and defend whatever happens.
She...
I mean, Spicer, who has, you know, been in this job forever, never, never, never for the Republican National Committee, he's having a nervous breakdown in his office. He couldn't stand the fire anymore. So they send her out now. And she's going to be there for 4 months before she's like, I got to get out.
She's like, what
Dad, get me out of
can't
this.
Can't handle this.
Huh. All right. Year three, year two, and year one. But first, Violetta Podomatic with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
See the impact of violence on victims and medical professionals inside a trauma center. Violence, the New Plague, a Medical Watch report tonight on WGN TV News at 9.
All right, we move along here as the top 5 continues. We are now up to, but not including,
number 3.
Remember, we just talked about this a few minutes ago. You know, got the John McEnroe, Serena Williams kerfuffle. Mm-hmm. It all started when John McEnroe was asked a question on the NPR.
Oh, she's not, you mean the best player in the world, period?
Yeah, best tennis player in the world. You know, why say female player?
Well, because if she was if she played the men's circuit, she'd be like 700 in the world.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right. You know what? It's interesting now that I've heard that in the way, because she was challenging him.
Right. She brought it up.
She's the one who brought it up. And she challenged him like, don't you understand? She's going to be the best. So then he overreacted by going 700. I think 700 deep is not the right thing to do there, but he was like reacting to her being snappy.
Yeah, it makes a little, that context helps. You're right. Although, isn't he known to just say things like that to sort of not care?
Yes.
Be crazy. Serena herself actually told David Letterman, people are remembering, a couple of years ago, I'd lose to Andy Murray in 5 or 6 minutes. But that's Andy Murray, not 700th. He's not ranked 700. Maybe he is now. I don't know. But then he wasn't.
Oh, no. Andy Murray is still very much at the top. Yeah.
Oh, he's retired now.
He went out on top. Andy Murray, I think, would be.
He had a good run.
I think Andy Murray is still he's like 2 years out. Right? Didn't he win?
Right. Well, he's just, he retired, I think, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We would all likely put the cash on Andy Murray if he faced Serena.
If you were betting types, right.
But now Joe Namath has weighed in. He was on the Fox News channel.
I love John. I think he's wonderful, and that's John. He's believing. I'm not going to argue with him, but I'm a Serena fan, you know. I loved watching her over the years, but being a male and knowing the difference in speed and quickness and, you know, strength, I'm not going to argue with John.
Because it's a bad idea.
So pretty much he agreed with him.
I also not 100% sure.
And was that Liberace or Joe Namath?
I'm not going to argue with him. I'm going to tell you what. I had a great, one of the great honors to me in my life was being able to interview Joe Namath. I didn't care if he was drunk because he's like one of my childhood heroes. Absolutely
really cool.
One of, you know, like when I was first able to visualize what football was like, Joe Namath was reaching his apex, and he was like in all the commercials and everything. He was like just the coolest human ever.
In his fur coats.
Yeah.
Yes. The celebrity around him, right?
He was great. And so I adore him, but he's just, you know.
Wasn't a great interview?
Yeah, why was he on Fox News?
Nah.
That was my favorite part of it.
I don't know.
That was bringing Joe Namath.
No.
Tennis.
Yeah.
To comment, John McEnroe.
I'm not going to go team John McEnroe at this point because you know, he's a. Mm-hmm. He just wants to create controversy.
He's got a new book out too, isn't that part of it? He's on a promotional tour, and so he's trying to make news too.
Play the first one again, because I mean, she's laying down
she's
a gauntlet
him.
That's kind of ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's not. You mean the best player in the world? Period.
Yeah, best tennis player in the world. You know why say female player?
Well, because if she was if she played the men's circuit, she'd be like 700 in the world.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I think that was his snarky response to her snarky question.
Doesn't fully understand what actually goes on there, which is there is going to be the serve of the ball is about 20 to 30 miles faster in men's tennis than it is in women's tennis.
Actually, right now she might actually be 700th because she's naked and pregnant on the cover of Vanity Fair. So,
and let's just not forget that Billie Jean King did win.
Against a 65-year-old man, yes.
She was...
Barely.
Yeah.
How old is McEnroe?
He'd be about there right now. 69. But I would like to see McEnroe and Serena.
Oh, yeah. I would.
I'd take McEnroe and pregnant Serena right now.
I would.
I would take her over McEnroe right now.
They'd have to turn down the sound because it would just have to be beeped out every time from McEnroe.
From both.
What are you kidding me?
I don't know.
Was in. That was not out.
She's a girl. Can't you see?
Female.
You know what?
Right. That's why the whole argument's ridiculous. That's why they play in separate leagues.
Yeah.
You know?
But I don't know why everyone's shocked. It's John McEnroe. That's what he does. He's a jerk.
Let's
argue this right now. Don't have to argue this right now. We're still in the middle. We got to get to
number two.
Late show. Stephen Colbert taking on Donald Trump's tweets about the Russian election hack.
I'm a big enough man to apologize. And I think I speak for the majority of Americans when I say, I'm sorry you're president.
Because he was asked if he should apologize. I should mention that. Should you apologize to the president? He goes, yes, I'm sorry you're president. All right. And finally.
Number one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. When are we going to get rid of LeVar Ball now? Why do we have to keep listening to him?
Didn't he just get drafted?
LeVar is the father.
Oh, that's the dad. I'm confused. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, and get ready. There's LaMelo, LiAngelo.
It's like the Kardashians.
Yeah, pretty much.
They keep going.
This is these are the balls of basketball.
The balls from hell?
What was that? They're the balls of ESPN. is what they are. LeVar Ball, the dad, got really into his appearance at WWE Raw, seeing how he took off his shirt and flexed for all of America last night. He was facing off against The Miz in the ring. And as soon as the wrestler mentioned he was the Michael Jordan of the WWE, LeVar was up and shouting. This just tells you how crazy this is. First, he tries to get his son, LaMelo, to handle the situation. The NBA is not going to like this.
I wouldn't think.
That kid, the 12-year-old who's running it.
Stern?
No, Stern's been gone.
Adam Silver.
Adam Silver, who has just finished his Torah portion, now runs the NBA. He's. I don't think we're going to allow this. I think this is not becoming of the NBA, National Basketball Association.
Well, understand that you are in a WWE ring with the Michael Jordan of WWE.
What? Melo, handle my lightweight. Handle my lightweight, son. Handle it. I'll unleash.
Oh, what, are you going to unleash all the balls on me? No, I don't want to deal with your kids, mouth. I want to deal with you because you do a lot of this, and all I want you to do is prove it.
Boy, you better stay in your lane.
Or what, LeVar?
Or the hunt is on, and you the prey. You want that belt? Hey. Oh, boy.
All right. You know what? I can't listen to this crap anymore.
It was so staged. You think they have teleprompters running for that?
Oh, sure.
Like they were reading it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
His Twitter handle, by the way, in case you want to follow him, LeVar Big Baller. Big Baller.
Oh, man. All right.
He's going to be around for a while, Rome.
Against Adam Silver. I mean, seriously, I just sent him his bar mitzvah present, and what is he doing? He's running the NBA now. and the thing is, I know that the NBA is like, what have we signed up for here?
Mother of God.
Right.
It's going to be a problem. They're going to have a talking to at some point.
They're the balls of the Kardashians, essentially, is what they are. The balls to the Kardashians. And you know, some ball's going to, you know, marry a Kardashian. Mm-hmm. Or at least get with one. Or a Jenner, in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, you're making me so...
Oh, man. All right. It's time now, I think.
Yes. And let's wrap it up.
For in the name of decency.
The top five at five.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
That was a sampling of Sonic Genius Brian Altimer's original tracks we just heard there.
How about that?
See?
I know.
See how talented he is.
He's going to be leaving us any second now.
Really? Let's hang on to him somehow.
I don't know. He's been with me for close to two decades. But at some point, he's going to go, you know what? I can't stand that guy anymore.
He's laughing back there.
Yeah, there are days I can't stand myself anymore. I don't know what to do with it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Because I sometimes call in the middle of the night. I'm having a thought. Mm-hmm. Anybody want to talk? It's very ugly.
You won't have anyone from the crew over, even though you
scream into the night from your deck alone.
You're alone. I'm on your deck.
Why, Chicago? Why? Then I get a noise complaint from my neighbors.
Oh, gosh. I bet they love the kiddie pool hot tub, too. I mean, it's a lot to complain about.
I will. So let me just tell you the reason I haven't invited you over for the deck yet. I'm just getting to let you know.
Can't wait to hear this.
Okay. Here it is. There's a reason. That just yesterday.
Okay.
We put a video together with the people from Archideck, and I didn't want anybody spilling anything on it.
Oh, gosh.
Who would do something like that?
I know. Right?
Right, Violetta. Good question.
Yeah. Who would do something like that? I didn't want anybody messing with it. I mean, I wanted it perfect for the video shoot, and then, because now you got to live in it. I was out there again last night.
What a perfect night for it. My gosh.
Right? It's a late night retreat. I get home from whatever it is. You know, I go to many charitable events. Mm-hmm. or out with my friends drinking, and to a bar. And then I go home, and sometimes I decide to make a little stop down there because I don't. It seems like a long way up the stairs.
You want to enjoy the outdoors.
Do you have a sleeping bag over there?
So I light a fire, and I sit there and I watch the fire. You know, a lot of things happen in the fire.
I think that's in your head.
That might be. Well, you know, like you watch a fire burn, and it can take you away. You like drift away.
Those are your eyeballs burning away.
Yeah, step away from the fire, Ro.
Sounds crazy, like it's working for you. It's therapeutic.
Some stuff in this fire.
Yeah. So you sit there and you watch the fires, the licking of the flames.
It's like you're smoking.
Which I don't suggest people do, by the way.
You shouldn't lick the flames.
Or you shouldn't lick the flames. It's the flames that are doing the licking, Violetta, just to let you know.
Oh, okay.
So she doesn't go, hey, I got to go home and lick some flames. Ma!
I
bet if you do it fast, it won't hurt.
Yeah, okay. So the hair queen, all of a sudden her hair will explode.
If you have hairspray on, watch out.
Yeah.
I don't need hairspray. Use Ovation Salt Therapy.
How many plugs have we worked into this one story?
Period.
What do we all know?
Did I mention Architect? Anyway, the point is that now it's open season. So we just have to come up with a time.
Okay.
And then I have to make sure that I've put everything away properly and that...
What are you putting away?
That you could touch, basically. Because Violetta is the nosiest human being on earth.
It just comes natural to me. It's a natural curiosity, not nosiness.
Violetta goes around people's homes and, those seats that have, pillows on top of them. So she lifts it up into the chest to see what's in it and checks around in the corners of the closets.
Pulling the...
Underneath the sink in the bathroom just to see what's there.
Why would you put this in there?
What's behind this door? What's under here?
I will never... Last year, we've mentioned this. And this year, we're going to actually do the show from my house for Halloween.
Only because you don't want me there by myself.
That's exactly
dangerous.
Right. So we can do the show from there.
We're doing it in your house?
We'll do it in my house, yes.
Maybe we can do it on the deck.
Maybe we could.
There you go. Party.
Yo!
No neighborhood.
Chicago! Near Northside!
My deck! My new deck!
Who wants to get in my kiddie pool?
Yeah!
No, wait,
It's a hot tub! Yeah, the hot tub party! Kids, grab yourselves some candy!
Oh, gosh. This just sounds weird.
Getting weird.
Little kids trick-or-treating are invited into your hot tub?
Mr. Rokan invited us into
his pool.
There's
this weird guy on the corner in the townhome community.
Oh, yes, we know about him. Yes.
Mr. Ro wants us to party on his deck.
You're 7. What are you talking about?
He's throwing candy.
I'm throwing airline bottles of liquor into their bags.
Wait until you're 21, kids.
Oh, gosh.
Ask your mom first.
This is great.
Maybe it worked. Maybe that doesn't work out.
We took it a little too far.
Yeah. Yes.
Kids get in the
hot
tub.
The point is that last year she was there by herself heading out stuff for Halloween. That was her assignment on the show, was to go to my house and hand it out while we were here working. And then she comes back and she's like, I'd like to know something. Mm-hmm. Why don't you have an electric toothbrush? And I'm like, what? I just noticed you have regular manual toothbrush. I don't understand.
Yeah, I checked out everything, I just want to see the way you live.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, like in everything. And then when we were there for Judy's birthday, because, Judy gets the most important, if it's Judy's birthday, then we go to my house.
It's a big deal.
Right? It's a big deal.
Super big deal.
Duh.
Yeah.
We got a chef and had a nice dinner.
Right, we did.
It was beautiful.
And then Violetta led the tour of my house for everybody.
She knew where everything was.
And here's where he keeps his toothbrush. Can you believe that he's got a manual toothbrush?
That's going to go in a museum somewhere.
She's like, Ro, do you know you have a whole other room over here just around the corner? Ro's like, wow, I didn't even know that bedroom existed.
Well, that was true, too.
Finding every little nook and cranny in the house.
We actually ran out of toilet paper at one point. I'm like, oh, it's right in the bottom drawer to the left. Rose going around in circles, can't find the toilet paper.
What? I mean, I don't know. I got people for that. I don't understand. It's like, I don't know.
She knew it was in your fridge.
Yeah, it was very weird.
Freezer.
I felt I felt violated.
Yeah.
I did. Mm-hmm. I felt like there was
violated by Violetta. That could be a segment.
Yes. I felt violated is what I felt. It didn't seem right.
Violetted.
Yeah, it was violetted. So anyway, she's only allowed in a. We're gonna actually tether her to something.
I need supervision now.
Speaking of tethers. We are going to be in Lisle. If you want to see this thing made, you know, live and in person, look out. Mm-hmm. We're going to be in Lisle on Friday at the Lisle's Eyes to the Skies Festival. And that's 100% of the proceeds go to charity for this.
How great is that?
Close to $1 million they raise for local charities and organizations. And they're going to be tethered balloon rides, carnival, nightly fireworks, music, food, and so much more. It's all part of the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate, Chicago's Own Good Hands. And all the details are at WGNRadio.com.
It's going to be a lot of fun out there.
Events.
Friday.
All right. Here is Violetta Pottermedic, who's very curious about what's going on in all of our lives and our homes. Mm-hmm. Let's see if she's just as curious about what's going on the roadways. All right. Rokan show continues right here with Anna DeVlantis.
Mm-hmm.
And present. And the Judy Pylock on the news coming your way in just a few minutes. And then we've got
Kevin
on the sports, the kids, Kevin and Violetta. And then we're at the Lisle's Eyes to the Skies event on Friday.
There's no S?
No, it's just Lisle.
Oh, I thought you meant Eyes to the Skies.
Whatever. She doesn't like it when you say Nordstrom's either. She's got an issue.
And Jules, turns out.
A lot of S's
either.
On unnecessary S's. Sorry.
Going over
continue.
To
so we're
going to
be at Lisle.
In Lisle.
Yeah.
For the Eyes to the Skies Festival on Friday. And we're sending Violetta up in a tethered balloon, rain or shine.
Yes, and I might not be coming back.
Rain or shine. Can you do that? Isn't it sort of weather dependent, the whole thing?
I'll do it.
Don't worry about it.
We'll be fine.
Yeah.
What kind of god would strike a balloon carrying America's princess? Or Serbia's princess or Romania's princess or wherever she's from. We're not sure.
I'm a traveling soul.
It's a moving target. Slovenia, wherever you're from. I do think that she will be the next First Lady of the United States. I'm not quite sure how.
I'll be the last First Lady.
Let's hope not.
No. Just kidding.
Let's hope not.
Just kidding.
They'll use that tape. Somebody will use that tape against the candidate when she's married to him. All right. So anyway, so come out and see us at that, because that's going to be quite an event.
It is. And I'm excited to see it. Never seen the hot air balloon launches and the show at night. And it's going to be cool.
Yep. So great. I was just talking to a friend about this today. You know, it's like I've never been in a balloon before because the technology is too old for me. It's like I've flown just about everything else a human being can fly.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, I've been in while it's flying, and the balloon has eluded me. I'm not sure. I'm not 110% behind the technology.
You're afraid of it?
Just not 100. It's you know, I like stuff from the 20th century. Mm-hmm. I like it from the 21st century. I like it from, you know.
You sound a little bit scared to
me.
It does sound scared. That's what I was going to say. You know, it feels like, are you afraid of heights? Is that something that you have? No.
No. I have fear of just about everything else except for aviation. A plane or heights or anything like that, I don't care. I mean, I enjoy it, actually. I even like TSA. I like when you go through and they take your shoes off and then, you know,
personal.
They take a naked picture of you and you're like,
do you
okay.
Do you like the pat down at the end if you have to get that?
Oh, please.
Check a little bit more.
Could you, you know what? I have a mole here. Could you check that one?
You missed a spot.
Yeah, run that one.
Over here.
I'm feeling a little lonely on the backside.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. No, that's good. Right there. Oh, yeah. That's it.
And they're like, sir, just go.
That's about how it works.
Yeah. Put your shoes on.
Really, you should have that checked. That's what and when they snicker when you go through, like, you know, they take a little picture of you and the guy in his earpiece goes, yeah, go ahead. And then the guy's got a smile on his face. I know what that's about. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. How about that?
music kind of got me dancing. It's not just Violetta this time.
All right, let me ask you a series of questions here.
Okay.
And I have.
Are we under oath?
Yes. God, I hope not. That would really help me immensely. By the way, coming up at the program, Izzy Del Toro is going to be here. DT, as he's known, a great American hero, a guy who was 100% disabled as a result of his service to the United States of America,
sure.
Taken back by my beloved United States Air Force, and mm-hmm. is not only serving his country proudly. He is taking part in the Warrior Games that are going to be here, the DOD Warrior Games, that are starting this weekend here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're going to want to miss that. But has an incredible story to tell. Incredible story to tell. Hundreds of operations to get him back to fight and shape, and he's here, man, to take it all on.
Yeah, I was in Afghanistan on a mission when he was hit by an IED, and he battled back against, I mean, just against all odds. He'll tell the story, but he, I mean, just a tremendous spokesman for the military, for the Warrior Games, and proud to have called him a friend for 10 years. He's an amazing person.
We were talking earlier. We had Senator Dick Durbin on. We're talking about the healthcare bill and all this. And basically, what I've noticed here is that Washington is trying to sell the healthcare bill to millennials.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You kind of have to, don't you?
That's, well,
you got to get them to participate.
Does the healthcare bill that they're presenting get rid of our student loans?
Oh.
Because if
work.
It does, man.
They add that amendment to it, maybe.
You don't have to pay those, Kevin. Those are optional, just like health insurance.
Oh, perfect. I'm good.
See, exactly.
See, this is the
world according to Violetta. Hey, I mean, if you're a parent and you've got kids, like these two in your house,
what do you do?
You're like, what? What did she just say? And the dad's like rolling his eyes, and the mom's like, all right, now you have got to learn something, young lady, before you go out of this house.
I don't plan on moving out, so that's okay, Mom.
See, that's the comeback right there.
Turns out that a new study says that the average millennial eats out 5 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds accurate.
And between Starbucks and bar tabs, it's almost impossible for them to start saving money.
Ain't that the truth?
That is true. Starbucks, this is an interesting problem that has now developed for me.
Why do you ever do the math and see how much you actually spend?
Well,
I don't allow myself.
It does the math for me now because I use my app do it, to pay.
There's a place where you can see how much you paid?
Yeah.
Per month or per year?
Yeah.
Rolling totals?
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Well, you look at your credit card statement. Do you not look at your credit card statements?
No, you should avoid those,
too.
Yeah,
but it's usually like a hit of $5, $3, $3, $3, and you don't really have to add it all up if you don't want to.
I just it goes in like increments because it's got to populate the app. Right,
God, that's so accurate though. Bars and Starbucks.
I know, really.
I went back to look
at that
my,
math
like,
in your head. For
debit
a second.
Card transactions would be like 90% of them would be the bar and Starbucks.
And then you throw Uber in there.
And the Uber to get
the
bar.
Oh, see what happens there.
I don't know how I'm living. To be honest with you, I don't know.
You might be spending a little more than you're taking in right now. How are you living?
I don't know. Every month I'm shocked.
Living at home though helps. Saves you on the rent, the pay rents. You live with the
pay emotional rents. Toll, though, is very expensive.
Although, what's interesting is that Violetta steals other people's teeth and then puts them under her pillow. And his mom, I lost another tooth. And then, like, you know.
The American way.
She and Bronco give her like a C note for it.
You think the tooth fairy visited the Podrometic household? That's funny. That's real funny. Flew right over us.
I don't even want to ask. 29% of millennials say that they buy coffee at least 3 times a week. Now, this is a funny. When Starbucks first came out,
mm-hmm.
and I was going to Starbucks across from work, and you know, you get addicted to it like the first time.
You do. I didn't even really like coffee until Starbucks
right.
was around. Same. And you're like, oh, these like, you know, whipped cream lattes are so great.
And then
like little desserts.
Next thing you know, look out. And I was, you know, buying coffee for, you know, $2 a cup, $3 a cup, whatever it was.
Where were you going before?
I wasn't even interested in it. And then I started getting interested in it, and I don't know how it happened, but it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought to myself, oh my God, my grandmother had just like, not to bring you down, but it just died. She was 110, so it worked out okay. But she had just died essentially. And I'm like, and she was the most frugal woman that ever lived. Mm-hmm. I mean, beyond frugal. She very rarely ever left her little apartment. Mm-hmm. She kept cash in the apartment. We found it in the freezer, like wrapped like steaks. Like, you know, it was unbelievably frugal.
I would have like a hair dryer to that in a desperate moment of need.
Yeah, no, and she was, I mean, and it was the most, and she saved rubber bands. She would tie rubber bands back together if they ever broke. I mean,
oh, gosh.
That kind of a person. And I thought if she knew that I was paying $3 for a cup of coffee.
Well, and even more if you get like a latte or one of the fancy ones.
Oh, I know.
I know.
You know, I think if you go downstairs, the Billy Goat, it's still like 50 cents for a cup of coffee there.
Yeah.
But I don't go there. I know that, and I still go to Starbucks.
It's right downstairs, Kev.
10 times the price.
Hey, here's an idea. We have free coffee here.
Yeah, but it's not Starbucks coffee, Judy.
It's good coffee.
It is good.
It's a pod. And it's also not iced. I only drink iced coffee. That's another millennial thing.
No, you can just put ice in it. What do you think they do at the coffee shop?
No, it's different. No,
it
is. It
tastes different, and it's brewed
different. Well, it's espresso over the ice.
I made this today. With ice in it.
And that's a reusable cup.
Yeah, that's right.
She's been using that for 2 weeks.
God,
I can vouch for her.
I'm Rose's grandmother.
I was going to say, do you have money in your freezer, Judy?
Do you actually tie the rubber bands back together?
I do have a lot of cash around the house.
The double. Oh, great.
I do, too. I hide it.
Do not let Violetta into your house.
I don't tie the rubber bands, but I have a bag of rubber bands.
It's funny.
Which I think is pretty good.
It's funny.
Most people don't have rubber bands.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know why my grandmother had them, but she had them. And nothing but rubber bands around the house.
She needed one.
I think at some point she started eating them just to save money.
Big rubber band guy.
She didn't want to pay for like Metamucil, so she just ate rubber bands. Same thing.
I love Metamucil. It's great.
Anyway, the point is, saves you on one meal a day. Now, 51% of millennials go to a bar at least once a week and eat out. 54% eat out at least 3 times a week or more.
Gosh, that's where the money goes. So that's expensive.
You'd think if we're living at home, our parents could cook us a nice home-cooked meal, and we wouldn't have to eat out. But
you have a restaurant that you could go to every
at any
day
time.
You're the worst example of this.
I'm speaking for all the other millennials.
She wants her mom to come home from the restaurant where she's the cook and make her dinner while the other people starve at the restaurant.
Oh, gosh.
That's what you're saying, isn't it?
Well, it's the least.
Yeah, that's what I thought. By comparison, about 60% of Americans say they do not purchase brewed coffee in a week. 73% say they don't drink at bars as a matter of habit each week.
These are the adults, not the millennials?
These are adults. This is the rest of the population. And 40% say they only buy takeout once a week.
Wow.
That's totally stark contrast.
Who are these people?
Right. What do these people do with their life? Just sit around at home?
What are they reading?
Yeah, are they reading? Watching TV?
They're doing all the living and dying in America, raising their children, doing the real work. That's what they're doing. What are you doing, fancy pants?
Go home and cook a meal and just watch TV and go to bed? What?
Sounds so boring.
I'm not getting on that hamster wheel.
Yeah.
Nope, not me.
I'm going out and blowing my money at the bar.
Yeah.
Live a little.
YOLO.
Live a little.
Yeah. 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 YOLO. And the best part is you only live once, but you only live once in your parents' basement.
Exactly.
At some point, you do have to leave the parents' basement.
Don't you want to somehow? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to come home to your own place? This is the problem. Millennials are not buying
it's
things.
It's not that we don't want to. Of course we would all want to go out to our own place.
But between the Starbucks and
the
beer
Starbucks
and
the bar tab, how am I supposed to afford
and the student loans?
Yeah, it's true. Thanks, Anna.
Loans. Sorry, Kev brought it up. That's the big one.
Weird attachment to home for millennials. It is.
I don't know. For me, it's a little bit of attachment. I can't imagine coming home and being lonely. I enjoy actually
seeing.
That'd
be great. I would love to go home.
Aren't your parents, working?
Well, yeah. But I know they're going to come home, stumble in at 2 or 3 in the morning. So.
And you're up and you just want to, do you play with them then?
No.
You
I
play
avoid
Barbies?
Them.
What
I
do
still
do?
Avoid them, but I still like the idea that they're coming home at some point.
Wait a second.
You just like the idea that mom and dad will be home while you're sleeping.
Yeah, so I'll be safe.
So I'll be safe.
From what?
I don't know. The intruders.
But the intruders have to 3 or 4 in the morning to intrude.
Well, don't scare me now. Oh, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
I'll never sleep again. I'm going to call and go, they're inside the house. The
oh, my
are
God,
inside
don't
the house.
Do that. Do you know how many times, every time I go to the bathroom, I have to kick my shower curtain and make sure no one's behind it?
Do you do like a full karate, like, you know, sidekick?
You have like, to do it fast so that you don't give them a warning that you're coming, you know?
Okay. I have heard it all now. What if Bruno's, Bruno, what if Bronco is in there?
If Bruno's in there, you got some serious problems.
That's a big
problem.
Hello, why are you kicking me right now? I'm going to take a shower to your house, so why are you kicking me?
Bruno Potti, we love him. Italian chef.
Why should you be kicking me now? I'm just here and enjoying myself.
Just making meatball.
What is... all right. Anyway, none of this made any sense, but that's okay. What if Bronco, your dad, came home and he's in the shower and you're like, you kick him in the, you know, like while he's in the shower?
I don't know why you have to take me there. I'm not in the bathroom at the same time as my dad.
I would hope not.
Yeah.
But other than the living at home thing, is it more of just this age thing rather than a millennial thing?
I mean,
weren't
so.
You guys going out 5 times a week?
Yes,
when you were
absolutely. Ro
still goes out 5 times a
yeah,
week.
Yeah, Ro.
I can. I've lived the life. I've done it. I've raised my daughter. I'm, you know, I'm like, I'm single. I'm done. I can do whatever I want.
See, I can't.
Stop screaming at us, old man.
There's a hard start to your day when you have little kids. And you yeah. just sort of get started no matter what. So you kind of pay for it if you go out 5 times a night or 5 times a week or even 3 times a week.
I did everything I was supposed to do. I had the hard start for a long time. Mm-hmm. 18, then for another year after that. Because I was up all night with it. When's she coming home? That's the thing with parents. Mm-hmm. Like, this is why it was a wonderful thing to have my daughter come back after college and live with me for a year.
Was
and it was
it?
A very happy moment when she said, you know what, Dad, I'm getting an apartment with my friend and we're going to, you know,
uh-huh.
start
That's
off.
That's a big moment.
That was a big moment. So it was peace.
Well,
cue the music, hit the deck, let's
go. Pool party. Couldn't do this when she was around, but
now. No, but I was always. But the thing is, you're like up at 3 o'clock in the morning, like, where are they? And you're like, you're calling me. Go, why are you calling me?
Well, because they say in the beginning it's physical, and then later when they're teenagers and beyond, it's mental. You got the thought processes going all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, where are they? Who are they with? What time are they going to come home? Where
yeah.
they say
Yeah, little
going?
Kids, little problems, big kids, big problems. That is true. That is forever the truth. But now I'm still, I don't know, and I'm not having my pool party.
Why not?
As far as she knows. Besides, I'm by myself in the pool. It's a little depressing. I'm not going to lie to you.
Sounds great. Nobody to bother you.
Yeah. It is kind of, you know, there is something to be said for that. But the point is, I'm adding to the economy. You people are a drain to the economy.
No, you baby boomers are. Get off Social Security. There's too many of you.
I'm not on the Social Security yet, but thank you very much. I appreciate
it. Your people. I'm speaking to your people.
I'll be out soon. When I get a place, can we really milk it? Maybe get some endorsements, like a free bed, maybe some furniture in the place?
Yes.
Mattress firm's going to come in.
Free hot tub.
Free hot tub. Free,
right.
Maybe
baby pool.
Deck on the back.
All right. All right.
Thanks. Appreciate
Violetta,
it.
Violetta, do you have the WGN for trouble spots?
And then there's this. See the impact of violence on victims and medical professionals inside a trauma center. Violence, the new plague. Medical Watch report tonight on WGN TV News at 9.
Hi, the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. We decided that, Violetta's mother did reach out to her and told her to leave the country.
Well, she said it'd be cheaper to live in Serbia, especially if I'm living at home.
Yes.
And she also told me not to go in the hot air balloon ride.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
But you're going, right?
Yeah. I don't listen to her much.
That's good. It's working out great for
everybody.
It's working out great for everybody. I don't know why they let Violetta live at home at this point. Don't you have a job? Kind of. She's kicking the shower curtain to make sure there's nobody in there in the middle of the night. Wants her parents just to come up. Do they make breakfast for you, too? Do you get up and start, like, complaining?
No, they're not up. So they have a very strange schedule. That's why our arrangement
Because
works.
They work really hard as immigrants to the United States of America, and they have, you know.
Yes. So they work late,
mm-hmm.
and they come home late, and then they kind of sleep in late. So I'm up earlier than them.
Like noon? What time are you up?
No, I actually get up pretty early. And so I don't really run into them much, actually.
But she just wants to know they're at home.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a,
that they're still working so they can continue
sweet.
To pay for this.
No,
because I don't want anybody, you know, slacking here.
But your parents like the arrangement, don't they, Violetta? They're like,
yeah, I mean, I think
upset if you left.
A couple of years ago, they probably tried getting rid of me. But now they've accepted it, and...
When you say getting rid of you, like, permanently, like, out of the family or just out of the apartment?
I think out of the apartment, yeah.
Well, that's nice of them.
And now they're resigned to the fact that she's not going anywhere.
Yeah. And we've just come to a mutual agreement. Like, now they don't ask me really what I'm doing, where I'm going. So it's nice. Now we're more like roommates.
Yeah, but they pay the rent, though.
That's do.
Yeah.
Do they remind you of that ever?
You know, my mom does, actually. Out of the two of
them,
you'd think my dad would, but my mom, you know, she'll be like, you don't have to give her that money. Did you get the rent check this month?
Do they ever say, while you're living under my roof, you play by my rules, or does that not translate?
That's
so well?
Just a given.
Oh. Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
And when do you start listening to that?
Well, like most things, you say yes, 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 and then do what you want.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
So.
Making Kevin look like an all-star here, even though he's still living in the basement.
No big deal.
Kevin's totally silent. I'm not going to say anything in this one. Step into that.
All-American son here.
Yep. Yeah, that's you. That's you. The other kids are out of the house, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Brothers out of the house?
Yeah, brothers out.
Miami.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's nice. Yeah.
Nothing else? No, they ever say to you, get out?
Not really, no.
They want? Do they like having?
I'm never home anyway. It's probably
nice
similar to
Kevin
Violetta's. Yeah, but they don't even. It's kind of the same thing. They don't really see me much.
Do you have your private entrance in your basement and everything? You can kind of come and go.
I have a few private entrances, but I don't want to reveal them on the air.
Otherwise known as windows.
Shut up! They're gonna hear us.
You don't mind. You're coming home on a date.
Come in the basement.
Yeah, climb through the window.
You're fine.
Now, listen, it's a little bit of a drop down there, but there's a couch right below it. So just bounce on the couch and then fall.
It'll
You'll
cushion
be fine.
Fall, sure.
All right, Uber's outside. Get out.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. Bronco?
No.
Yes.
Good. Thank God Bronco's
Bronco,
here.
Do you really, first of all, do you realize that she's complaining that you guys get home too late when you're out making the dinner in the restaurants?
Baloney. She loves it.
Well, I like, yeah, on a Saturday night when you're out late, allows me to be out late.
Only Saturday. But how about the balloon? You're not going on a balloon, baby.
Yeah, I'm going to go on a hot air balloon.
Come on now. You went to the jumping hanky-panky from that plane. Now you're going to the balloon. What? Oh, boy. I don't think so. Are you?
Yes, I am.
Say your prayers, Bronco.
I do. I'm going to go to church and light a candle and really... Ask priest to do a little praying.
She'll be okay. She might be a little lightning.
I like Broncos going to church. And let me ask you this, Bronco. Did you realize that in the middle of the night, when she gets up to go to the bathroom, she kicks the shower curtain to see if there's an intruder in there?
Sometimes I'm scared of that too much noise, but I don't know what's going on.
My point is, don't ever get home late at night and stand in the shower, because she will kick you.
No, the problem is, I leave it open, and my mom and I fight about this back and forth. She needs it closed. Right, Dad? Isn't that so annoying?
Yes, it is, baby. It is. Better life. What can I? You never go out of a house, so we'll be happy anyway. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, I've been praying God when you're going to get married. So.
Oh, God. Yeah, I can't leave the house until I'm married.
Is that true, Bronco? You have to wait. You're going to wait till she gets married before she leaves the house?
Yeah, that's in our religion. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
Again, lightning. Cue the lightning. All
right,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Okay, thank you, Bronco.
Thanks for
Might
waiting,
Might be a longer
Bronco.
Wait than you think. Yeah.
Good hearing from
you.
Yeah, she's got the hair, though, maybe, now. Maybe that'll work.
Hair. What is the hair?
I don't know. She's the hair queen. So it's sort of like she's got the, you know. What's the product?
Are you saying now I'm more marriable?
Yes. Because you have the, what's it called?
Ovation cell therapy.
Yeah. There you go. Because of that. She's now more marriable.
Violetta is very marriable, but she'll do it when she wants to. If.
Right.
Thanks, Anna.
If she wants to.
Mm-hmm. And yes. Then at some point, I think she's going to wear Bronco down on this one.
Exactly. At some point.
Sometime is she going to leave the house? She going to leave house? All right. Judy's got news here coming up in 2 short minutes. Rokan Show. With Anna DeVlantis.
Yes. And a true American hero.
720 WGN. And yes, we do have a true American hero in the studio with us. Israel Del Toro, DT, as he is well known.
Yes, he is.
Who is a member of my beloved United States Air Force, mm-hmm. and is a master sergeant. And he is was grievously wounded in Operation Iraqi Freedom, correct?
During Freedom.
Enduring Freedom. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, you were in Afghanistan.
Afghanistan.
Yes, and this was it was 100% disabled, right? Is what the United States military said about you.
Yeah, back in, December of 2009 is when they came back and told me I was 100% disabled. Mm-hmm.
But that has not stopped you from staying on in the United States Air Force and even becoming now a parachutist, right, with the United States Air Force parachute demonstration team. Now, that is you talk about endurance there. That is really that's something and a half right there, DT.
It is. It's interesting going back and jumping again, especially when you have missing fingers and opening your own parachute. But, you know, it's one of my three things I wanted to accomplish before I retired. Mm-hmm. And so I've got to accomplish pretty much all three that I wanted to do.
Because you fought to reenlist. I remember, you know, knowing you for so many years that you talked about that. You really wanted to get back.
I did. You know, I always tell people it's because they ask me, why do you want to stay in? You know, get out. You can make so much money doing all that. It's like, it's never about the money. I truly enjoy my job. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to find a job you're truly enjoying because I love serving my country. I love being in the military. Mm-hmm. So giving that up and not to give the guys the bomb that set the bomb the satisfaction that they tried to ruin my life, mm-hmm. you know, pretty much giving them the big middle finger.
That's exactly what you're doing right there.
Where's that Toby Keith song again?
I never. Yeah, get Toby Keith for us.
We need to cue that music up for us.
We're gonna put a boot in somebody's ass. The funny thing about this is that in all these years that you've been out talking, telling your story, which is an amazing story. I've never heard you say it that way. That's a great way of saying it. Sort of like saying you try to take my life, but look what I'm going to do, and you still serve the United States Air Force. How many now? You're out in Las Vegas, right?
Up in Colorado Springs.
Colorado Springs. And how much time you have left?
Actually, I didn't even realize that I hit 20 years, June 11th.
Oh man!
But I'm trying to stay on. I want to finish this tour there at the Wings of Blue parachute team.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably another 3 years. That's probably call it quits. I say that now, but who knows?
But you know, there's a lot of civilian demonstration teams now too former military guys, whether they were Leapfrogs or Golden Knights or your guys, mm-hmm. That are out there performing too. So there is, you know.
Yeah, but I the thing I like about where I'm at now is I get to teach cadets, so I'm at their Air Force Academy, so I get to motivate them, show them that. Mm-hmm. You know, to overcome adversity, because these are going to be future leaders in the Air Force.
No question.
So to have that opportunity, I really enjoy it. So when my time comes. Mm-hmm. Till then, they too keep fighting, keep jumping, and keep having his knees up in the air.
And with the big middle finger out to the Taliban or whomever else might be out there that might be looking at it the other way. ISIS, take this!
Yeah, right.
Hey, the DoD Warrior Games are starting here on Friday. And let's talk a little bit about this because you've participated in this and the Invictus Games, right?
I have. I've been part of both since the beginning. Warrior Games started back in 2010, and I've been part of either as an athlete, mentor, or coach. And same with the Invictus. I've been an athlete last 2 years. This is the first year I'm not going to participate because I didn't want to.
And DT, other than being a hero, is super humble guy and New Lenox native. And you've come to meet quite a few celebrities as you, you know, participate in the games and you become a spokesperson for the military in many ways and telling your story as honestly and candidly as you have, when I interviewed you 10 years ago, I remember you told it to me and it just was so powerful, inspired so many people. But now talk about all the people you've got to meet, and partly because of what you've done, John Stewart is now a part of the Chicago Warrior Games.
It is, yeah. I met John Stewart a couple years ago doing a charity event with Bob Woodruff, the reporter that got blown up.
He was the news anchor, Bob Woodruff.
Right. And so we became friends, and now he has a big old man crush on me, I suppose. That's what I hear. You know, well, you know, I am.
Well, he's answering your text messages in like 2 seconds. Yeah. I'd say that's pretty cool.
So when John, you know, wanted to do part of the Warrior Games, he did them last year, and he really was excited to come back to do them this year. You know, he was like, DT, I want to do something with you. I want to involve, you know, ESPN. So he had ESPN come out and, you know, interview me, you know, hung out with me. I wanted to get him a jump, but he kind of chickened out.
He wasn't into it.
He was scared. You know, not too many people.
Oh, my God. Would you have tandemed him?
I'm not tandem master, but I would have jumped with him and filmed him so I can watch him scream and cry like most people.
You know, though, I got to say, you can scream, but you can't hear you. You know, that's the thing. When you're in free fall, it's very hard to hear the guy screaming. You can see him screaming. I know that, and it's bad to open your mouth. I learned that the hard way.
Did you open your mouth?
Oh. Yeah, open your mouth, and the next thing you know, you're part of the parachute. Well, at altitude, you know, you're leaving at least I left the aircraft at 13,000 feet, and then you're immediately in fall, and you're at 100 and something miles an hour, right? So you open your mouth, and then the air rushes in.
So your cheeks kind of blow up.
Well, they blow up. And then what's worse than that is that
like a puffer fish.
You dry out immediately. Oh. And it's very hard to, like, even when you close your mouth, which it takes a little bit of effort, then it's like your tongue is in the middle of like a leather bag, right? Is that kind of the way to describe it?
The worst
good to
part,
know.
Thank God his tongue wasn't sticking out and slapping him.
Yeah, right in the face. Yeah, that would have been bad. I think I saw that in a cartoon. But it's quite a thing. And the tandem, I found it to be very, once the chute opens, you know, it's pretty terrifying before the chute opens.
I bet.
Once the chute opens, right, then it's like the most, it's so peaceful, right? So quiet.
It is. And that's what I tell most people is like, the free fall is cool, but I really enjoy when the chute opens and you're just floating down.
Yeah.
And you're just enjoying the scenery. You know, me being out in Colorado, I could see the mountains. You know, when I jumped in Arizona, we jumped kind of like dusk time.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw, you know, that those colors and just floating down. It's such an amazing experience.
Amazing. When people aren't shooting at you, it's a great way to fly. The problem is what these guys do is they got to go down, especially the guys who are learning how to, the special forces guys who have to learn how to tactical jump and, you know, get down on the ground. That chute opens and they're on the ground, you know, very quickly thereafter.
Yeah, you're, you know, jumping in war, you're like a moving target, you know. Thank God most of those guys don't know how to shoot very well, so we all pretty much land pretty safely.
Oh, that's good news. I still don't like
that's
the idea.
That's comforting, isn't it? Yeah, don't worry.
Don't worry. They're terrible shots.
Really? Just get down quickly.
That's okay. I still want to get down. but it is. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing that you're doing. So you're not participating this year. Not
the Invictus. I am doing Warrior Games this year.
All right. What are your events?
Oh, my God. It's probably easier if you say what events
what
I wasn't
doing.
You're not, because it grows every year.
Let me try a couple. Wait, hold on. I got the schedule of events. We're going to work it this way, DT. All right. Here we go. So we've got opening ceremony on July 1st, of course, which has got that great concert. Right?
Kelly Clarkson and Blake Shelton.
Yeah.
Which is great.
As low as $40. The tickets, two full concerts for $40 is not bad.
I know. It's unbelievable. It's going to be a great night.
And that atmosphere out there with everybody and the Warrior Games is going to be awesome.
I'll be out there too. So what can I make it some more?
July 2nd, it's a track competition at Lane Tech.
Yep.
Go you, Lane.
Are you?
I'm doing that.
Doing that, okay. July 3rd, archery competition.
I am not doing that.
No,
I thought you did archery before, didn't you?
I did it last year.
Okay.
All right. Now that's going to be at McCormick Place. Then how about field competition, July 5th?
Yep.
That's at Soldier Field. Cycle competition.
Yep.
That's at the museum campus.
Gosh, it's all right.
Then you've got swim competition, July 8th.
I am not. But you did miss one. You missed
hold on,
two.
I'm something. Not done yet. On keep the going. 7th, wheelchair basketball.
Nope.
Is there another
volleyball?
One?
Yep.
You're doing volleyball.
You missed one.
What did I? Oh, shooting pistols.
Shooting rifle.
Rifle. There you go.
Yeah,
there pistols and rifles? Is that the way that goes?
There's pistols and rifles, but within each one is standing and prone. I'm doing both.
Okay, so that's McCormick Place, Lakeside Center for that.
Yep. You just awesome. See DT at the end of these. He's got medals. You can't even see his face because they're all like puffed up over his chest.
Wait, how many total are you doing then? Are you doing like 7? What are you doing?
Well, I'm doing, I'll go through a rundown. I'm doing the 100-meter dash.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing the 4x100 relay, meter dash. I'm doing shot put. I'm doing discus. I'm doing
I don't have enough fingers. I ran out of fingers. I can't do this.
So about almost 10 events I'm going to be doing total.
Wow. So, oh, my God.
And but people trying to compare me to Michael Phelps, like, man, Michael Phelps got nothing on me. I got more.
Yeah, I know.
I love that.
Yeah, and you're better looking than Michael Phelps, too. Screw him. True. Screw him and a Taliban.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Middle
right
finger.
Right,
both of y'all.
All right.
If I could, you know, but kind of lost my middle finger, so I'll just, I got to get like
this
a prosthetic middle finger.
This
really
is better.
Big one. Just
this is a better way of doing it right now. This is a virtual middle finger that you are giving to the Taliban. All right. I never thought I'd ever have this conversation, but I just did. Israel Del Toro, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate it. The Warrior Games are going to be June 30th through July 8th. If you do want to, tickets are available for that Soldier Field concert on Saturday night starting at 7 o'clock. Do not miss this. And the money goes to this incredible organization that's doing this.
And all the events are free except for the
concert, right?
The concert and the celebrity wheelchair basketball game.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So.
Is John Stewart going to do that?
He's going to do that.
Wow.
And some other celebrities yet to be named, I guess.
Yeah, well, they're going to have the Chicago Fire PD.
Cast of Chicago Fire and cast of PD, some of those guys.
And some other cast members.
The Warriors are going to kick their butt like no tomorrow in that.
Yeah.
Look out. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. DT, ladies and gentlemen, Israel Del Toro.
Good to
Here's
see you, DT.
Violetta Podomatic with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. Rocanjo with Anna DeBlantes right here, 720 WGN.
Great American hero just walked out of the office here.
That is true.
Good to see DT.
And another great American hero has, well, Justin's walked in.
Justin just walked in.
Am I the great American? Wow, thank you, Ro.
You're welcome.
That was
No, not at all. In any way, shape, or form.
No.
Tell us what's happening on the showgram tonight.
Jimmy Chamberlain, the famed drummer of the Smashing Pumpkins, sits down with me at the big table. Talk about his career behind the kit. Talk about drums, drugs, and Siamese dreams. How about that?
Ooh, yeah.
That's it's amazing to me to think that next year, actually, I believe early next year, 2018, or would be the 25 year anniversary of Siamese Dream.
Gee,
the record that the second record that the Smashing Pumpkins put out. The one that broke him,
that
really
put him onto the map.
It's amazing to think about, and so we'll talk about that because this would have been the summer that they started work on that album. You know, the
25 years ago this summer.
Yeah,
I remember going seeing them at the Metro back in the day.
We were probably at the same show.
You might have been.
I was the older gentleman that was hanging out in the balcony. You know,
that creepy guy. That's what you're. That's
who's that guy?
I had the wristband.
Who's the old guy back there?
Mustache all the way down. I'm like, all right, Smashing Pumpkins.
How's everybody doing here?
No, I was like 7 to 18 years old.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah, I mean, you know, when you stop and you think about musical acts out of Chicago, it's, you know, I don't really count Zwan, but I do count Smashing Pumpkins.
I do. Mm-hmm.
Well, Jimmy Chamberlain made it. It's funny because he started sort of in classic rock. He also came up, his father was big into jazz.
Mm-hmm.
So he ended up just recently, he's been playing on jazz records. So he had no interest in alternative rock. Like, that was not his interest as a drummer. And I think that because he didn't have that sort of sound that everybody else was having, you know, at the time, you know, the Dave Grohl's of the world, he brought something different to the Smashing Pumpkins, and that drum sound actually set them apart.
No question about it. I mean, you know, Dave Grohl literally and figuratively was like the Muppet. Right? He's like the Muppet that looks like him. He was before, the Muppet appeared before him, and then he did the Muppet. And he was all, and I mean, Dave Grohl is one of the great drummers of all times, no question about it. But it was a very, that whole grunge sound was a very different sound, and these guys wanted to do something. And that sort of ethereal, almost other, you know, otherworldly sort of sound, right?
When you talk about rock and roll drummers, I did a lot of research on this, but there have been a million lists, you know, the best rock and roll drummers of all time. But Jimmy Chamberlain shows up in the top 20, which is amazing to me because, you know, you don't necessarily think of the drummer when you think of the Smashing Pumpkins. I mean, let's be honest, you'd think of Billy Corgan and what he brought to the band. But the people who are the inside circles when they talk about musicianship, Jimmy Chamberlain, because of the way he plays his drums and his craft,
is considered one of the best, arguably one of the best in alternative rock. So Jimmy Chamberlin, and you could also arguably say one of the best to ever come out of Chicago. I don't want to disparage any other great musicians that came out of here, but
kind of working through this in my head and trying to
drummer from Cheap Trick would probably,
he's Rockford technically.
Yeah,
I don't want to give Rockford any credit, but I think technically they get Rockford gets Cheap Trick.
What are you against? Why are you against Rockford?
Well, just
have you been to Rockford?
He's lived a life. I mean, he'll, and you know, that's something we'll talk about, because it's not just, you know, been drumming and being a rock star. I mean, he's had very, very public fights with drugs, drug addiction, overdoses. You know, they had the big news of Smashing Pumpkins when I forgot what year it was, but they were on tour, and the keyboard player tragically died of an overdose, and Jimmy Chamberlin was involved in that. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to it, because it is the quintessential sort of rise and fall story of a Chicago band, and rise again as the Smashing Pumpkins look to possibly go back out on tour next year to celebrate that. So.
What? Was that already announced? Or
no, I mean,
did
it
break
is.
That news?
But you know, it's one of those things where you're like, am I breaking news? But then again, the Smashing Pumpkins, I mean, it's like every other year they do that. Okay. You know, it's not like they've been broken up. They'll do this thing where we're coming back and we're going to play a year. So, yeah, I mean, I think the idea being that they'll be back on tour soon.
Okay.
So,
all right. So,
there you go.
Yeah. Because we found out earlier today, we broke the news that Dick Durbin and Jared Kushner are like
hanging out.
BFFs.
Good
now.
Buddies.
Yeah.
He's trying to get to him because he agrees with him on some issues.
Twitter just blew up, by the way, Smashing Pumpkins back on tour. I don't know where that came from.
Oh, my gosh.
Anonymous. You know, all the Twitter tastemakers are listening right now to the crosstalk of
they do Con and Justin. They do, because they know this is the this is one of the finer moments in radio. You know, it comes right after the 3 to 7 every day right here on WGN. Then there's this sort of the shirt tail, but it's great. You know,
it's great.
Yeah. Break news here in these first few minutes.
I've heard that this crosstalk has been extended. The contract's been extended on it, so that's great.
It's just in.
Crosstalk.
It's like the last scene from Jerry Maguire. I've just received this. You've been tendered an offer.
It would be great just to have a show called Crosstalk, and all it is the crosstalk between the shows.
Yeah.
You're going to make me cry, Jerry.
All right.
Don't make me cry.
Don't make me cry.
Don't make me cry. What happened to him? Not Cuba Gooding.
Roy Firestone?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Roy Firestone is
gone.
I hope he's not passed away. And then I've just said that.
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up.
Someone will tell.
Tragically.
While you're in the. Well, I'll be gone by the time they look it up.
Yeah.
And this is on your show anyway.
This is on you. Yeah, he and Jim Rome are hanging out, I think.
It does. Technically, if there was a mistake in the crosstalk, it is on
yes,
me.
Yes, it's on you. It's not on me.
You own it, okay?
I don't.
Circular.
I will, exactly.
Just like Sean Spicer says. It goes back on you, Justin Kaufman. It's not us.
That he is born. Yes, and he is born. Yes.
Still no, alive?
I'm right, Wikipedia. Yeah, no, he's still alive.
Strong research tactics.
Thank you.
All right.
Went as deep as Wikipedia.